August 4th in the Macross Speaker.
It's August.
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 August. Say it right.
Why do I do this? It's August 4th. Yes, it's been a year since the last August, meaning that August is back, people. And you have the crew of the Macross Speaker.
Sorry, Darren.
Podcast here with me on the left is...
Save, also known as Adrian, formerly known as Save Robotech.
Or Indiana Macross.
Indiana Macross. I always forget about that.
Yeah. And on my right...
Gubaba, also known sometimes as Richard.
And to the right of Gubaba...
Renato.
Also known as...
Renato.
Every time. And yeah, this is Gwyn Campbell, otherwise known on the boards as Torchiro, or as that weird dude on the front page of Kotaku as of last week. And we are here to...
You're so serious.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. So we're here to talk a little bit, this time, gentlemen, about a bunch of events that have been going down, as always. But
which
first...
is not what we were planning on talking about initially.
Not necessarily.
Right.
But
sorry, that'll be later. We're still working that one out.
Yeah, because that, you know, the Macross, you know, anniversary is just winding down. There's nothing to talk about.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we are waiting till things wind down before tackling those individual series reviews. And things kind of jumped a bit again. But look, let's get into some news, because something went flying through the sky in one of the streets of Tokyo last week, and that was the human Ethanol Circus.
Yes. Budweiser can himself.
So tell us what happened, Renato. You...
Well, I wasn't there.
Oh, really? I heard you were the culprit. That's what Tomino told me.
No. So, unfortunately, Ichiro Itano has been in an accident. It was a motorcycle accident. I'm not sure exactly what the details were
it
regarding...
It didn't transform correctly.
Or he's strapped too many fireworks to it.
Yes, yep. Yes. Anyway, he's in hospital right now. He has already been told off by the doctor for going too fast in his wheelchair.
Fireworks on it.
Yes. But yeah, he was in pretty bad shape. I hear he's getting better. He's making a good recovery, but
what,
yeah, he had...
What happened, exactly? Like, I mean, like, what are his injuries?
Apparently he's got 2 broken arms and 2 broken legs.
Okay.
Which is better than 3 broken arms and 3 broken legs.
But, yeah, a little bit better.
But despite this...
Despite this, he keeps on drawing. He's drawing with his good arm, and by good arm I mean still broken, but not in a sling. He only has 1 arm in a sling.
And people have been sending him... There was a fishy sent to him,
Do
right?
Do you have any bud?
The shikishi sent to him, that was shown, like, the cardboard piece of cardboard that's normally used for signings and autographs.
Really,
and someone,
really funny comments.
Yeah, someone drew this picture of his face with a big scar on it. And, yeah.
People are saying, hey, you're not injured, you're just leveling up. And some other comments are saying, in Japan, if you're a kid and you get injured, your mother will come over and, like, rub you where you're sore and say, itai no, itai no, tonde ike. Which means, let the hurt fly away, Itano. But somebody made a joke and just said, Itano, Itano, tonde ike, which means, fly, Itano, fly.
Or jump.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, look, our thoughts go out to him, and I hope the man makes a full recovery.
Definitely.
Because it just seems we've been losing a lot of people in the animation field.
Yep.
Yeah.
As of late.
Yeah, but he's a badass, though. I mean, this is like news, but it's just kind of like Itano news. Like, well, this week he broke all these limbs, and
he's kind of like the animation world of the animation world's Keith Richards. You know, he's not going anywhere.
True.
Keith Richards.
No, true. There'll be cockroaches, Keith Richards, and Itano there drawing missiles. Is what you're telling me, right?
Wasn't he like? He strung himself up in some palm tree or something and broke all his bones, but he was okay. He was rocking the next week or something.
Probably.
Oh, wow.
He fell off a jet ski into the sky.
But, look, let's move on then. A couple of other things have happened. Speaking of things being injured permanently, New Type Ace.
Yeah.
Has,
Our podcast started before New Type Ace and has outlasted it.
Woohoo! I think the high fives for everyone.
Yay! Yeah.
So you're saying we're directly responsible in some way for that? No.
No. Well, I might be because I didn't buy the last three issues, and I think you didn't either.
Neither did I, but that's all on
Mikimoto.
No,
they're directly responsible for not including any more document of Macross booklets, and that's why...
With no rhyme or reason as to why, but...
Well, maybe things are winding down.
Well, they were, obviously. But no, it was quite a surprise because New Type Ace came out of the gate really strong. I mean, of course, I miss Macross Ace. I loved that magazine because it was this node for all things Macross, whether it be merchandise or manga or movie news or concert reviews.
Yeah. But you knew it was going to end.
I know, but it was great, and this is really good documentary, one might say, of where fandom was at that point.
Sounds a lot like backpedaling. To me, I don't know. I didn't think it was that great back when it came out.
No, I loved it. But I didn't necessarily
like the
love
idea
it.
Of it.
I didn't necessarily love it for the non-Mikimoto manga. I like Macross the First and all the news and stuff. Yeah, I know. I preferred all the news and the interviews, and I wasn't into the newer manga. Some of the gag manga was okay.
Yeah, no, the interviews were good.
And, you know, you had, like, letters and fan art, and just it was the coming together of all these fans, which I thought was good. But when that went and New Type Ace came out, I mean, New Type Ace started out really strong. They had Tiger and Bunny, which was the thing to have.
Yeah.
And they went through, like, Ashura's Wrath, which was, you know, they were pumping pretty hard.
Blood Plus.
Right. They, basically, any mecha... Yeah, well, Yamato. The Yamato 2199.
They had the Shiro Masamune stuff.
Right. And any new...
Reading about that.
Well, any new, basically, mecha anime got its first manga adaptation in this that came out in the last season or two. It seemed like this had this really strong lineup, and I was always of the opinion that if I was going to buy one manga a month, this had a lot of stuff that would appeal to me. But apparently it wasn't enough to sustain it.
Right. I only bought it when it had Macross the First in it.
Me too.
I got a couple just for their Yamato 2199 centerfolds.
Mm.
Foldouts. Let me revise how I put that.
They were kind of centerfolds.
They were really, really good.
Those two Moriyukis were very, very... racy.
Enlightening.
Racy.
Mm. But so yeah, New Type Ace has left us, and many of the manga that were among its pages have gone off to other...
Yeah,
publications or online.
So is there going to be a final issue, or is it done?
It's
done. No, I was in a bookstore yesterday and saw the magazine that Yamato 2199 has moved to.
Right.
And I was kind of looking at it closely to see if Macross the First was in there as well, but no.
No, they have. Well, the big news is, of course, they have yet to announce what is going on with Macross the First.
The big news is that they have yet to announce.
Right.
Well,
is that what you're telling me?
Given the uneven pacing of when we were getting new content for it, I was kind of worried just Macross the First might not continue.
Yeah, and are you still worried, though?
Now I'm still worried because now it doesn't have anywhere to come back to.
So basically we haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
That's the...
So, and then...
It'll be back,
they
though.
Just say keep an eye on the official Macross website for more news, which is yet to be forthcoming. But
might give Mikimoto a chance to actually finish up Egg Cold to see how.
Oh God, I got a signed copy of that. You want it?
Yeah,
sure.
It's my name though.
Oh, is it in katakana?
Yeah.
Okay, then no one will know. Okay.
This says no Richardo.
Right.
Richardo.
But so yeah, two not so good pieces of news to start the podcast off with. So, look, let's move on
getting
to something a little more positive. A new book came out, gentlemen.
Yes.
You want to tell me a little bit about this?
Oh, it's thought we were getting the bad news out of the way already.
Katare Macross.
Which means?
Talk, Macross.
My Macross isn't talking to me. What's going on? So this book came out, and I remember seeing it on Amazon as a pre-order. And there's been a bunch of these kind of books coming out.
Yeah,
you know,
it's more of a magazine than a book.
I should explain that the Katare is a series of books, MOOCs, rather.
Mm.
I have one more. There's been a Gundam one. I think that was the first one. I don't remember, but I think so. I have Katare Tatsunoko, which is a really good book. This one is... You know what this is like? It's very much like... The Macross Graffiti that came out in the '80s.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's got
nowhere near, but it's
because it's got rankings of the characters and stuff.
Well, let's take a step back. I was surprised when I saw it at the format because I was thinking, you know, they did the smaller format like basically Macross new basic Quote overview book? Digest, and then they did Macross 7 one as well.
Right. Yeah,
oh, I didn't
yeah,
know
yeah,
those
yeah.
are small. I've never seen them.
Those are small.
Those
yeah.
are small.
Really?
I was expecting something like that. So when I saw this, as more of a, as you said, Richard, the actual dimensions are magazine.
Do you have those books?
But with more content. Yeah, I've got them.
Oh, we never talked about them.
I have them back home.
But
like, back in my place.
Alright, so there you go. Okay.
What sold me on it was I picked it up in the bookstore and I was flipping through it, and there's a two-page spread showing the context of the original Macross.
Which is something that doesn't get covered enough.
Right.
That's true, yeah.
So they have
the context,
number
as
one...
in what society was like during the time it came out, because it was 30 years ago and no one...
As the 80s, right. So it was post-apocalyptic.
Right. So it was number one, the idol boom, which is definitely an apocalypse of some sort.
That's idol boom!
And number two...
idol boom!
The explosion of media. And number three, the oil shock and the bubble years.
Yeah.
And just the fact that they actually covered this in a Macross book kind of made me think, okay, I have to buy this. And the rest of it is really not anything that we haven't seen before, but it's kind of nice to have it all together.
Are the interviews new? Do we know?
The interviews are new.
So there's a Miki Moto one, there's a Kawamori one.
Yeah.
The back, was there a Tengen one?
For yes, there is a Tengen one. So yeah, like, all of that's new. Everything else is like, you know, it's pictures of characters, it's apparently some people voted and ranked the characters, and all the idiots pick Cheryl as like the number one Macross heroine.
We all know it's Clan.
Oh, it's a Miyatake
yeah.
interview.
There's a Miyatake interview, yeah. So it's, but it's a lot of art that we've all seen before, but it's kind of nice to have it not spread over 50 or maybe 80 issues
of the Chronicles.
You know.
Right. I noticed that. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I should add that towards the back. They have a section on...
Ooh, Iendo.
No.
Renato, who cares? Iendo.
Right, right. They have two sections. There's one which is very interesting. It has an interview with Sasaki Shiro, who was the musical producer for most of the Macross series, starting from Macross 2.
Yeah, yeah. He was
and he
on
talks
the,
about Macross 2.
Nico broadcast.
Yeah, he was
time.
On the...
Oh, okay.
The old one that we already talked about. And there's also an article about Haneda Kentaro, which uses quotes from a 2003 interview with him when he
because
was still
he,
a,
yeah, he passed
he
away.
Still alive.
He also did the music for Orgus.
Yes. Orgus rules. And they have
Quinn's
a toy section.
Quinn's going to cut that out.
No. We'll have an Orgus podcast next week. They have a toy section. Do you notice anything here? Is there anything conspicuously absent?
Are you talking about anything from Yamato?
Exactly.
Let me see. Let me get a close look at this.
Now,
I just saw
the
picture
problem,
of Tengen behind that doing a kung fu pose.
The problem with this book is that it seems like a product of necessity. And they don't talk about things which they don't want to talk about or certain investors might not be interested in mentioning.
So basically,
how can you have a book about Macross, have a section on the toys, which isn't as big as it needs to be, I think, and not talk about Yamato, which is the biggest thing that has ever happened to Macross toys?
Yeah, it's kind of like the thing that bridged everything over the years, so...
It single-handedly kept the Macross name alive over the last 10 years while Frontier was nothing. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I've heard a lot of things about people who were involved in the making of this book.
Oh, really?
It wasn't... a lot of people didn't know what they were talking about, apparently.
As in the people
editors.
Who wrote it?
Yeah.
It seems like a pretty solid
a lot
book
of,
for the most part, though.
But a lot of... Okay, well, for example, the idol section that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
they have no mention of Mari Ijima.
Well, she's not an idol. She was never an idol.
I know. But... that doesn't mean that the record company didn't use the idol boom to promote her.
Oh, true. Okay.
There's a lot of things... They hardly talk about her in any
well,
sort
Well, they
of
talk
context.
About Pink Lady, which I found odd.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting as well. I was expecting them to have, like, Onyanko.
Ooh, Megumi's thighs.
Yes. Sorry, distracted.
And to finish it off, they have a section on space emigration in real life. The possibilities of space emigration, is the Macross 7 fleet or the Macross 25 fleet an actual possibility in the future? And they talk about the International Space Station. They have an interview with a JAXA guy, an actual person who works at the manned missions planning thing in JAXA. Mm-hmm. And they talk about lots of different things, which I think they don't... Just the same as that toy section doesn't talk about Yamato. They don't talk about Mars One. They don't talk about Virgin Galactic. They don't talk about all these things that are actually in motion right now.
Do they mention that Stephen Hawking said that we have to get off the planet if we plan to...
There is no mention of Stephen Hawking.
That's just because of the size of some people's Valkyrie collections. There's no room left on the planet.
I don't know. It just seems like a lot of it, the idea was good, but it just seems half-assed. Like, there's just 3 pages on Macross 7 in the entire...
I was pretty pleased with it overall. All right. thought it was a nice synthesis of a whole bunch of things.
It seems, I guess, to me, for the people who don't want the Chronicle... Yeah,
yeah, it's like Macross for Dummies. Or for newcomers.
Well, that's the thing.
I liked it, so it's not...
That's the thing.
For dummies, man.
No, but... This is a convenience store book.
Yeah,
okay. Sold in community. It's not a bookstore book. Obviously, you can find it in bookstores.
And obviously, Tenshin didn't know what he was doing because the Valkyrie that's on the front cover doesn't have the right heat shield color.
Maybe the way that Kawamori intended it, because this is what it looks like in the Macross 30 game.
Yes.
Just to let you know, Richard.
Just so you know, I am being completely sarcastic here.
What were you going to say?
I'm just saying that Tenjin is a listener of the podcast.
I know.
And he knows that you don't fancy his 30th anniversary scheme.
Which he was gracious enough not to mention to me the last time I talked to him.
But when we get to the toy section, I'll bring up what he said about you this week.
Really? Oh my god.
Weren't there 50 people at that talk show? Anyway.
I'm worried.
Okay, wait. There was one more thing that I wanted to say. The Miyatake interview is a really good interview. Yeah, he mostly talks about things that we already know, like Genociders and stuff. And Mega Road. But he did say one thing, and that was that the owner of Big West at the time, Yoshimasa Onishi, took him and Kawamori while they were still planning for the Mega Road, and they were trying to push this genocidist concept of, you know, having the backward knee joint on
the
Mega.
The heroic girl walk.
Yeah, but the toy company didn't want to use it. Mm-hmm. They wanted a proper, like, Gundam-style robot, Imagineer-style robot. Otherwise, they won't sell any toys. They went together to the cinema to watch Empire Strikes Back. And in those, they have the robots with the backward knee joints. And Onishi turns around and says to them, "Hey, that's the thing that you guys drew, right? That's what you would..." And they were like, "I know, that's what we're trying to tell you, man." And they're like, "Okay, we got to go back to the drawing board." And that's one of the things which led to the Valkyrie design, to have a three-step design, to have a robot. We got to think about this from the ground up, totally. And that's really when Genociders became Mega Road. Okay. Anyway, yeah, it's a so-so book.
So would you recommend it for people at all? I mean, the art isn't... There's not much in the way of full-page art or new art. So
I don't really recommend it if you can't read Japanese.
All right. So for your average Macross collector, is this worth importing? I mean, it's a little large.
Anybody that owns Perfect Memory or the Gold Book, buy it, because you probably can't read those anyways. And it's the same thing, but with just updated.
I think if you can get it for like $1,000 or for like $10...
That's not going to happen if you're
10 bucks
Japan.
Or 15 bucks.
10 bucks is what it's worth.
Yeah, 10 bucks or 15 bucks.
How,
go for it.
How much does it cost here?
$9.80.
So that's not going to happen for anyone outside of Japan.
Well,
they'd be looking at
it wouldn't before Abenomics came in.
They'll be able to
now
get
it
at cons
okay.
and
that's
stuff.
True. So.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and you don't know how long that's going to last.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So, it's in other words, get it if you've got the gold book because it has more of Megumi's thighs. Is that...
Yes, yes. Anything with Megumi's thighs
and,
is a must-buy.
And it has
days.
A picture of Tenjin doing a kung fu pose. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
It is true. All right. So, let's move on.
Moving on up.
Is the Bandai model kit actually out?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. 172?
Yeah.
Yeah, that got released last month.
No, we saw it in the...
Well, it was at the museum. I thought they might have gotten it earlier.
No.
Okay, no, so to promote it, there was a little show on Nico Nico.
Well, months before it came out, everyone was expressing how odd it looked, CAD design-wise. And it already had, before it was released, it had negative reviews on Amazon.
Wow, one of those things.
Yeah. So it's really gone through this really difficult road of getting released. Mm-hmm. And after it was released, about a week after, Bandai did a Bandai, what is it called? Hold on. All right. So Bandai X Master File Blog 172 Valkyrie Ustream live cast, where they actually turned off the Ustream comments during the broadcast. And because they already know that...
That's never a good sign.
Yeah, that's never a good sign, because they're supposed... The reason they have it on Ustream is so people can comment and ask questions. But they were disabled.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Otherwise, just put it on YouTube.
Yeah. So they opened it up with basically saying, oh, we're here today to talk about, you know, the 172 Bandai, and we know there's issues out there, but we're going to talk about these other things about the actual valve.
You know you hate this.
So as the broadcast went, every because, I mean, it's there's a lot of kind of, what do you call those things, gimmicks to the model kit itself. It has a lot of moving parts and new additions to the transformation to kind of make it cool, but they went so overboard, it just looks really strange. So every time they talked about a gimmick, it was almost like throwing Kawamori into the bus, because they just kept saying, well, we developed this new gimmick because Kawamori said that's what it needed to be like, and this is his... This was strictly by Kawamori's ruling that it should be like this. And every gimmick was covered in that way.
Yes, because I can totally imagine Kawamori saying, the head needs to be bigger, make it bigger, bigger head.
Valkyries would give big head. So,
wow, we got one out of Adrian today.
Oh. So, yeah, that broadcast went on for about 45 minutes. And they even got to the point where they didn't really know how to continue the broadcast. They actually kind of stopped, like, okay,
can we say anything else? What else is
oh, and then they started going. I think the last 10 minutes was, well, we're going to talk about the new Gundam marker that's made for panel lining, and this is how you panel line. And that's how they ended it with, because it seemed like they ran out of stuff, because they didn't do a Q&A, they didn't take questions, and it was basically a tool for damage control, I think. Because
so
it was out there.
This thing is the biggest disaster that Bandai has put out in a long time.
For now, yeah. Because the next one is going to be the Fokker version.
Right.
And there's going to be tweaks to it, but it's essentially the same kit. Because they're not going to... There's going to be a couple of, like, probably anchor points for the transformation not to be so floppy, but otherwise it's going to be the exact same thing as before. And it's going to have the TV hands. That's the only difference.
So in other words, expect these things to go down in price pretty darn quick.
Well, yeah, there's that, or that first version will eventually disappear and then everyone will want it because it was the screwed up version.
True. Good point.
So if you're a model kit builder, go out and buy it just to have it just in case. It looks great in fighter mode. It's the kit. Nice. Fighter mode is okay.
No.
You know?
But if you're just going to buy it for fighter mode, you can just buy a Hasegawa.
Yeah, that's true. So, but yeah, it's up to the kit builder. But people have bought it, and yeah, it's pretty wobbly and wank. You know, it's just kind of it's kind of crappy.
So. It's a shame because they were, you know, pimping how poseable it would be and all that stuff.
They played like in shops and stores, and even before the Macross 30 concert,
crossover concert,
they played a really long promotional piece. Video of that.
Yep.
And did you notice that the music was just a cheap rip-off of the Back to the Future theme?
No, I didn't
notice. It is.
Actually, now you mentioned it, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, wow.
We need Marty McFly to go back and have them fix it.
Okay. So, Adrian,
it all works.
So, Adrian, while you're actually talkative...
Oh, yeah, because I don't ever talk on these damn things. I just sit in the corner and smirk at Renato every time people piss me off. So,
tell me a bit about Wonderfest.
Oh, yeah, Wonderfest just passed last weekend, and the Arcadia booth was there. They actually had the regular size booth, and they were showing the new YF-19, and the Batroid mode is probably the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Oh, how can it look better than that thing?
Leave that old piece of junk.
That thing
out
in the corner,
there.
You mean my life-size Cheryl poster?
No.
He's talking about the first Yamato 19.
Who cares about Macross? What about the Mospita stuff?
Oh, I'll get to that. Okay. But let me get back to the Arcadia stuff.
Because Arcadia's back.
Arcadia's back.
Yeah, they're back for Wonderfest. So, yeah, they showed in the glass case and display case, they showed the Valkyrian fighter mode with all the armaments, the missiles, and everything. And it just looked amazing. It was probably the best looking Valkyrie I've seen in toy form. And to have that many accessories. It's just insane.
Now, when you say best-looking Valkyrie, I believe you mentioned it was because of the Batroid more than anything else.
Well, okay, how do you say it? Well, we had the Fire Valk, almost towards the end of Yamato's run, and that was an awesome toy, right, mm-hmm. Renato?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much...
Enthusiasm, Renato, yeah. Enthusiasm.
Yeah, best toy ever, yeah.
I actually intended to get all the variants.
Oh, okay.
But I never did. I only got the 19S, the Fire Valkyrie, and the P. And
You got the P?
I got the P.
You have to pee.
I have the P.
Okay. So anyway, the Isamu 19 in Batroid mode looks like the line art. It just looks so, it doesn't look like the old, was it the 160? The last one?
Yeah.
That one up there?
The 160, yeah.
Yeah, that one's almost too tall in Batroid mode.
It's got really weird legs.
Yeah.
They're not really posable.
And
anyway.
This one just looks just like the line art, and it looks very strong looking. I don't know, it just looks like it would kick some ass. Like,
yeah, because
see it
it's
out
based
on screen.
Off the VF-19 engineering, right?
Yeah.
Where they use the all these gimmicks to shrink down the waist and the hips.
So it has all those gimmicks in Batroid mode. In fighter mode, it's not. It's a little bit more snub size. So, but just all the extra armament. Just
it's got the wings sweeping back.
Yeah, yeah. This swept back wings for was it tow mode or something like that? When it's on the aircraft carrier.
Yeah, and high speed mode.
High speed mode. I don't know. That toy looked amazing. They're also selling a exclusive Bedolza Fortress, this little 3D printed and pre-painted, kind of like a, I don't know, about so big, 5 or 6 yeah. inches across.
For the price of a Valkyrie.
Yeah, it was about $130. But
I was
going to
say, I'd be interested in that.
But, I did pick one up for somebody, and I looked at it, and it would look nice on your desk. It looks fun.
Why is it so expensive?
Oh, it's because it's just a 3D printed and pre-painted. I mean, you don't have to paint it. It's all done for you.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Or you could just get a cabbage and stick it on something.
Cabbage, let it rot for a few days.
I love the fact that Arcadia put a side view of it up on Twitter. It's like, can anyone guess what this is? And I'm like, it's a Bedolza Fortress. And then you look at a couple of forums and Facebook pages, and people are like, what on earth is it? It looks like a plant. And I'm like, hey, what? How can you not recognize what this looks like?
Frontier
that movie
fans.
Was never released.
Yes, but you have to fly around it so many times in all the Macross games.
Hitting all the those games.
And they showed the... Because it's Arcadia. Apparently got the Macross license so that they could re-release the 160 VF-1S that everyone was worried about. So that's coming. Movie version. And they also had the Hikaru movie version, Valkyrie VF-1S.
They're slightly different though, right?
I don't know what... is different about them.
They come with different stands. They have compartments that you can store the missiles and accessories inside.
Yeah, the Valkyrie should be the same.
The Valkyrie should be the same, but who knows?
Yeah, but it does come with that stand, which looks almost like the old 21 stand.
Yeah,
but modified.
But the bottom. Yes. And also, I think It might come with option parts. The photographs that we've seen look like it's got the covers on underneath the arms.
Yeah.
And I think on the neck as well.
They'll probably come with the option parts. I don't see why they wouldn't.
And the price. They also come with an inflated price.
No. Well, that's only because that the cost of work in China has gone up.
Right.
So.
Mr. K has mentioned on Twitter that you even if they were to reissue all of the Valkyries that they've produced up until now, you should never expect them to cost what they used to cost.
Yeah, and that goes across the board for toys coming out of Japan. So yeah. Whether it's figures or mecha or whatever it is you collect.
People are saying the YF-19, well, I hope they keep it under 150 this time. That is never, ever going to happen again. You can say goodbye to those days.
At the same time, the exchange rate is better now than it was
the last 3 years.
Right, so you might be paying the same. Really.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Abenomics.
Everybody that's sitting there saying, oh, they're charging too much, that's not what it is. Last year there was major striking. There's major like riots in China over Japan business and all this stuff happened. So everyone was hit as far as toys and all that. And I think I talked about that before.
Mm-hmm. They just seem to move to Vietnam.
Yeah, well, they're going to the Philippines now, Vietnam. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where it's actually going to be manufactured from. Then the other thing that they had on display was the 30th anniversary Valkyrie for the Arcadia. And they had the actual box art and the actual retail packaging with Tengen's artwork, which looks really nice. And so I know on the forums, I put up some pictures and some people put up the links. And it's still a big kind of box, almost like a 148 box size, even though it's a 160.
But it's got nice art, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's got the anniversary scheme, but it's like a bust-up version shot.
Busted-up version.
Busted-up version.
That's what it looks like outside the box, is that what you're saying?
That's only the one you buy.
Oh. And the design for the toy is a little bit different than the design for the Hasegawa model kit, because it has to transform.
Yeah. There is the scheme, the lines... The way the pinstripes line up is differently, because for the toy, it's got to line up.
I think on the forum, someone was saying that the Batroid kind of looked like it was wearing a tuxedo.
A tuxedo? Yeah. You mean without the... just with nothing...
No, I mean, like, the lines and everything made it kind of look like it was a tuxedo.
Oh, I'm not sure. I'd have to... But anyways, people put it up, and a lot of people were... Now they're saying, well, I'll buy it for just the box art. Mm-hmm. And then they're kind of going
something on. Something no one has ever said about
Yamato. That's true. It's
but something that many people have said about Hasegawa.
Yeah,
yeah, really. I'd buy versus box art. So I had told him that everyone's pretty much saying a lot of good things on the boards about the box art and how they're looking forward to get this release. And his only question was, well, it's not like Richard's going to buy it.
Okay.
Yeah. Going back to a previous podcast. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Tengen, sorry, I don't buy the toys. I have a ton of Hasegawas.
That's true. Ronaldo, Rich's wallet's over there. Just grab it and grab a few man out of it.
Yes, I think he's more than made up for it. He does own a lot of Hasegawa kits, so he does love your artwork.
Yes.
So I think that's
definitely
pretty much it.
That was it?
As far as Arcadia.
What about other stuff? Because I know you picked up something very unique.
Oh, yes. This small circle or a small group. Well, I think it's just one guy. He's known as Flat Factory. He's been doing a lot of stuff in CAD and releasing Macross 2 kits. So he did the 172 scale Icarus. The VF1...
JOS.
The VF2. 2JA.
VF2JA, not ass. But it does look like ass in Batroid mode, I will agree. But I like the fighter mode. He also... He previously did the Metal Siren at 172
which also
scale.
Looks like ass.
In fighter mode, but I like the Batroid mode. It looks like a jumbo jet in fighter mode, because the wings are just too big. and it has that big lance in the front. So yes, it looks odd. So I picked up those kits, and there was other stuff out there. The usual guys making extra parts for Hasegawa kits.
Huh.
But I wasn't at Wonderfest too long because we had just came back from a road trip that we'll talk about soon.
Yes.
So I was very tired, and I just went to check out the Arcadia booth, help out some friends, pick up my own stuff, and, you know, go down to a booth to see if that, you know, the return of the some Mospita toy that was supposed to come out last Wonderfest. Yeah. Nothing. No Mospita. Nothing. Not even the other small creator Arcadia. No, I almost called it a gyoza. No gozus. No nothing this time. As far as I know, nobody did any Mospita stuff at all.
Mospita's dead?
So I'm sure I missed it. Somebody's probably did something.
It's front.
But
All right.
Yeah. Well, there's a little fan over there right there. Go grab it. Okay. That fan.
Oh, the Badalza one?
Yeah, they grab it. It's on top of the magazine.
On top of the mags, yeah.
So
Hey.
So Arcadia.
This is what I'm excited about. I like this kind of stuff.
A fan. A little.
A plastic cheapo fan. Yay!
Yeah, swag. Basically, it was what Arcadia was giving away.
Why is the Bulldozer Fortress non-scale?
Because no one knows how big it is.
No.
Mm.
Maybe.
So yeah, it actually, in Batroid mode, it looks like this line art.
Really?
Bulldozer's Fortress in Batroid.
By the way, we're holding a plastic fan. Let me hold it up to the mic so the mic can get it better.
We really have a feel for our fans.
Yeah, it's a little plastic fan. On one side it says Macross Plus 160 Perfect Transformation YF19 with Fast Pack 2014 on sale, Arcadia. It's got the website. It's got a photo of the, or at least a computer generated CAD file of the fighter line art, like colored line art of the Batroid,
which I think hasn't been released, has it?
No.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, it's got the non-scale gold bulldozer fortress.
It says on sale at this booth.
Yeah. 10% something.
10%.
They increased the volume 10%.
It actually sold out, too.
Okay.
It did sell out, so...
Wow.
I think you're right. It's like 160 scale VF-19 with knurled pins. I'm sorry. Without knurled pins. Yes, don't worry about that.
So a plastic throwaway fan is the big thing here.
For Renato.
For me, yeah.
Yes, Renato, you can have it if you want.
Yay!
All right, now, before we talk about a certain road trip, I want to talk about something else that's back. That is the 1-to-1 25, which is making a limited appearance for 1 month. Those who have listened to our previous casts may know that, was it last year?
Yeah.
There was a 1-to-1 25 with no legs because they couldn't work out the engineering for the Gerwalk mode.
Did they work it out for this time?
No. This is the exact same thing. It's not a paid exhibit. It's a freebie. There's no money going into
this.
It'll be
slightly different than we saw it because they did do some changes for Osaka.
Because the finger was broken and they had to repair it?
No. They repaired that, but the...
they added a few more details.
Yeah, you can actually... In Osaka, you could get up to the cockpit and look in.
Oh, okay.
And the... whatever you would say, the repair deck, it looked more like an actual maintenance deck. So there's a lot of changes.
Right.
So maybe they'll do more changes. We'll find out.
Well, it sounds to me like they're basically dragging it out of the warehouse. It's going to be displayed in Minato Mirai Station.
Mm. Which is in Yokohama.
And it's going to be like in the third basement.
Minmay's hometown.
The basement of the station. And it's being put back on display, and it is just going to be the 25 and the life-size Minmay statue.
Okay.
Nothing else. And it's only being put on display as a kind of promotional stunt for the rebroadcast of the original series on Wow Wow, which is coming up in HD.
Which is kind of cool that they're going to that length, too.
Right.
Because I remember I was visiting Tokyo during the 25th anniversary when they were rebroadcasting the original series.
Mm-hmm.
And they were rebroadcasting it at 3 o'clock in the morning on Wednesdays. And Gwyn is yawning in reflex for this. I actually caught a few episodes of that.
3 a.m., damn.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's going to go on display from August 9th. It'll be around for 1 month only. So if you're in the Tokyo area, it will be free. You just need to get a train to the station, and you can walk right in. And photographs will be allowed.
And 1 month is more than it was displayed in Ikebukuro.
All right, so look, I think that's about it for news. So let's move on to our first main event report. So back at, when did they announce the Crossover 30? Was it one last Wonderfest?
No.
What event was it again?
Oh, I think it was Wonderfest.
That was when they had the mini live.
It was during the live broadcast of Nico Nico.
Fukuyama came out and Haruka Chisuga came out.
Sing Haruka it, Renato.
Haruka Chisuga.
And they announced it, and I was really interested in what they're going to do for it because, you know, they did a Crossover live in 2009. Another one so soon. I know people who live outside of Japan seem to think we get Macross concerts all the time.
Some people in particular seem to think that.
But this is only the fourth time in history that we've had this many. Fourth time in 30 years that we've had this many Macross artists together. Now, mind you, it's also the second time in 4 years, but it's only the fourth time in 30. So, it is not
when you say this many, we've never had this many, though.
Right.
Never.
This is the fourth time that all of the ones...
All?
All of the singers...
All?
Yes, all. Of the singers from every Macross show...
Except Holy Roz.
That counts.
We'll get to it. We will get to this.
Because the first one was the One Night Stand at the 97...
Exactly, and Chia was pregnant.
Chia was pregnant, she wasn't there. You know, second one Megumi hadn't been born or something.
So, and the second one was Megumi and Firebomber and Mariajima. No, you were at that one, right, Adrian? That was the Megumi's announcement as being before Frontier came on.
Yes, and there was no plus or zero or two.
But ties.
And then there was 2009, which was the first one where you could really say all of them came together.
Yeah.
And then most of them. This one.
That's why they make such a big deal about the name, the Crossover, because that was the real Crossover in 2009.
As opposed to One Night Stand.
Yeah, which was just here, have this. Although...
it would have been amazing to go to.
We've talked about the article that Egan Liu wrote about.
Yeah.
He really sold us on it. Yeah, I think we all read that article.
I definitely agree.
Thought, I really wish I'd gone there. I'll never get the chance again.
And I think what we saw was
which
better.
One? The 25th?
No, the 15th.
Oh, shall I go pull out the program? I got it.
The program?
Yeah, I've got the program book.
I so want one
you're
of those.
Joking with
this? He's got it, and I want it.
I'll go get it.
Get it. I've never seen it.
Okay, so Adrian's back.
Oh,
and
my God.
Well, these are different, aren't they?
Oh,
they're...
Holy!
Well, these are just clear files from a Mikimoto exhibit.
But this one is amazing. I've never seen this art before.
I have. That's old.
You gotta seen this one before.
Never.
You never seen this art before?
No.
Richard's never seen this art before.
That was from one of the.
Yeah, Color Me Newbie.
Color You Newbie.
That's from one of the.
Respect.
VHS
and that I've seen. Yeah,
respect.
I've seen that with
Mickey Mouse workout.
Gold.
Anyways, let's see.
I got
this
one for free once when
this one?
Mikimoto had a.
All right, show us your show us this booklet. Pull it out.
Just check and see what else I got in there.
Whip it.
Oh, that's where it is.
Whip it good. R.I.P. Allen. Wow.
I have never seen this before.
Okay, let's look. Oh my God.
Okay, tell everybody what are we looking at?
We'll take a picture of this.
We are looking at a picture
of
Minmay, Milane, Basara, Ishtar, and Sharon.
And it's new Mikimoto.
That's Shaolun.
It's not Shaolun.
Isn't that
it's not Mikimoto.
No.
That's definitely.
And it says "Remember Me," and it's like, yeah, four of you I remember, one of you I don't.
I didn't know you didn't like Basara.
Shut up.
15th anniversary Macross One Night Stand.
15th anniversary Skull Squadron.
Dude, this is incredible. Where did you get this from?
I just picked up at Mandarake, maybe.
I just picked this up at Mandarake, maybe.
Maybe.
He's had this for ages. Yeah.
Okay, really nice picture of Minmay, really nice pictures of Mari from the 15th anniversary.
That was from the old 15th anniversary calendar.
Yeah.
A lot of these are from that calendar.
This is different. Okay. This is a cover, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
With a different background, though.
Yeah.
And we've seen this.
Now we know why you have this
agent. Yeah, that's not important.
Why is that page sticky?
Give it back.
Okay, so there's a really sticky page that says Ishtar and shows a picture of Ishtar, and next to it is Hiroko Kasahara.
Now these arts are, this art is all from, this is Animage.
The cover. Yeah, that's Animage cover.
This is like back before they'd completely locked down the concept.
Right.
And a lot of the stuff in there.
So yeah, a lot of this stuff is art that I've never seen before.
It's early Animage where they, a lot of the designs and sketches in there weren't in the same as they were in the final
product. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, now we're getting here. We've got like a very Evangelion-esque picture of all of the Sharons piling on top of each other.
And a young Kanoyoko.
And a young Kanoyoko when she was still like, no, it just comes to me.
It just comes out.
It just comes out.
Clearly, Egon Lu scanned the photographs here of the artists.
When he used
that
Mariijima
photograph, and I remember this.
Yeah, for the article he did, yeah.
Right.
An article on Macross Plus.
Oh, hey,
and
look, hey, look, the original Macross Plus art was not so busy, was it?
Right. No, not at all.
That's what this is based on.
Oh, hey, look, we've got an ad for Macross Plus stuff coming from Club M.
Look at this. It looks just like what Adrian saw.
Yeah, and it's...
Hey, listeners, look at this.
Yeah, it's 148, and it's 16,800.
And that was just non-transformable resin.
This is 43,000 yen.
43,000 yen for a 148 non-transformable Strike Valkyrie.
It's the ultimate Valkyrie.
Okay, now we get the Firebar. Ooh, nice Chie picture.
That is a damn good Chie picture.
Well, she's wearing a bikini top.
Yeah.
And she's like 25.
I swear
no
to
sticky pages here, buddy. I'll tell you right now.
I'll make them sticky for you.
I want a copy of this just to show this picture to her at her next gig. Chie, can I get an order? She slapped me.
Sorry, I drooled a bit on it.
Are you wearing this next time?
Well, I mean, if Sakurai Tomo taught us anything, she'd never wear anything. Okay.
There's so an ad for Wave.
Anyway, keep going. Just let's move this on.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Macross Collection. This is for the PC program here.
And there's...
a bunch of Macross merch, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
This was really, really cool.
Thank you, Adrian.
The podcast.
Thank you, Adrian.
See you later, guys.
Yeah.
No, you know what's really cool?
This picture of Ishtar. I know what you're
going to
say.
Yeah. The Genga and the Dogas.
Mm. Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Recently just went on Yahoo Auction for this.
The original pencil drawings.
With gold leaf, I'm sure.
No. Not the paint, because this was a cell. This was like a hunkin' cell.
Uh-huh.
So the cell wasn't there, but all the hand-drawn elements to make that cell.
Okay. And it's not just... the cell wasn't there.
No. Didn't come with the cell. The cell probably got sold a long time ago.
Because the cell is really nice as well. Yeah. I mean, it's mostly airbrushed.
But... And it didn't have a background, and this isn't even the real background.
No.
But this was the same Honkin cell used for the Valkyrie 2 kit for Bandai.
Right.
The program guide for Anime Expo or whatever it was, Anime Con at the time. But last month, the actual elements to make the cell went up on Yahoo Auctions at $150.
Uh-huh.
Sold for about $700.
Wow.
I lost at about $400.
Ah.
So, and if I just had the money, I would have won a grand for this. Sato has it now, basically. I doubt it. Maybe that JVC Macross guy,
I think it's JV Macross.
Sato got his ex-girlfriend to dress up as a Sharf.
I had the money to buy it, but I had...
Is that why... I'm not gonna.
I don't know if I would have won because, like I said, I would have won a grand easy. But at the time, I I had some responsibilities to take care of, so.
Yeah.
I lost a gold book the same way.
So I lost my gold book by... No, it was a perfect memory book by putting it down at the flyer table at Anime Expo in Long Beach and walking away. And then going back thinking it would still be there.
No, that was not Japan.
Where yeah. No, that was not been... Japan. That maybe would still be.
Anyways. So the concert was held...
Oh, yeah, what were we talking about?
Who cares, man?
So the concert was held at Makuhari Messe. And I have to admit, you know, I was skeptical because Makuhari Messe is not known for its good acoustics.
Oh, it's the same venue as the old crossover.
Talk about, before you get to the actual venue, talk about how stupid it was how to get the tickets. Like, how much it actually ended up costing us.
Yeah, they kind of screwed us over with the tickets. So, for fan club members, and I have to point out, tickets ended up being relatively easy to get, relatively.
Compared to the last one.
Compared to the last one, because the boom is lessened.
Yes.
The
boom's lessened because the diehard fans, we still got a big group of diehard fans, still got a big group of main fans, but some of those fans have died off, mm-hmm. They dropped off. Because
Frontier was 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, and was it 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Was the crossover?
That's 2009.
2009.
Was it? Yeah, because it was the 2009 was the launch ceremony thing. Okay. So they did a bunch
it was
of stuff that
2009. They had to more. Actually make the crossover a 2-day event.
Mm.
So
this is true. So the tickets with regards to the fan club, you could apply for a draw. And if you got out of the draw, if you were selected from the draw, you had the right to purchase the tickets. Of course, you don't know where the seats are going to be. And our seats were far from great. I was not impressed, actually. But, so, the thing is, though, the fan club costs about 5,000 yen a year. $50, give or take, a year. Now, when you apply for the draw, you're a member of the fan club, but the period for the one for each 1 year stint of the fan club is decided. It's not that if Adrian joined in January, he goes to the following January. If I join in August, I go to the following August. No.
August.
Thank you. It's the same period for everyone. No matter when, like when you join the fan club. So in this case, a lot of people join the fan club to apply for the tickets. So they paid their $50 to join the fan club, went in the draw, got their right to buy the ticket. But then the period for that year of the fan club expired. So to actually be allowed to pay for your ticket and pick it up, you had to rejoin the fan club.
This is such a racket!
And pay another $50. And I was just like, wow, that's some business acumen right there. Yeah, that's amazing.
That's, yeah.
That's artificially dragging the boom.
Sharpening stones, walking on coals.
I was, yeah, it was not a great way of doing things. And then, of course, thanks to some very kind people in the forums, we managed to win one of the limited to 100 free tickets that the code came with Macross 30 premium box set. And that went to Bariaburu Fighter.
Yes. Howard number one.
Howard
from
number
Osaka.
One. And yeah, he picked up the generous code donor a concert pamphlet, which will be sent to him shortly. So Makuhari Messe, not the best venue, but
no.
I was definitely there before you guys.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
When I woke up, Gwen had already been posting pictures for
Facebook.
Like an hour or more.
Well,
and I was having my lunch, and then Cross Yuki, one of our friends,
yeah,
commented on your photographs, Gwen.
He's like, I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I'm still in Tokyo. And I'm like, I still haven't gotten changed. I'm not getting there until 2 hours later. I'm not leaving.
I don't know, like 7:30 or something in the morning, and the concert started at what? The doors opened at 4? It started...
Doors opened at 3. It was announced to start at 4. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that, yeah. So I was concerned about merch. And I got in line, of course, there were some of the hardcore Japanese fans who'd been there overnight. And they had some stories. You know, they're like, oh, you know, some of us slept here, some slept in the internet cafe. And we dropped by 7-Eleven at 9 o'clock, no, at like 6 a.m. to get coffee. And like Chie Kajiura's band was all in there, like buying breakfast.
That's cool.
You know,
that is cool.
So we had a few people in front of us, quite a few, regardless, and it was blazing hot. Then,
oh, yes.
About after an hour to an hour and a half in the sun, they walked us inside Makuhari Messe, And Makuhari Messe is a huge convention center. They've got like
this is where Wonderfest is, right?
Yeah, same place.
They've got all these huge halls. Now, in this case, what I didn't realize what they'd done: halls 1 and 2 were combined for the concert. Hall 3 was actually the merch hall. And it was not unlike what they did for the Merry Christmas Without You gig in Osaka, which I reported on. They had a hall set up not just for merchandise, but for just showing merchandise, to, for people to take pictures, for cosplayers to hang out, for there to be food. Like, it was a whole bunch of stuff to see and do.
And those life-size posters.
And it was all air-conditioned, and it beat being outside in the sun, that's for sure. So they let us in 9, 10 o'clock, something like that, and we went in, and the line for merch was huge. And the ironic thing is, very few items sold out after all of this, which is what I was worried about. Because going back to, say, the Yoko Kanno Tanabata Sonic concert in 2009, same year as the first Crossover Live, I was in line for 3 hours, and the posters for the gig still sold out.
Oh, I missed those. Yeah, I was lucky to get a program for that.
Right,
one.
So I was concerned about this as well.
Wait a minute, you mean the Bears, because wasn't the posters
that was a Macross gig, not a Yoko Kanno gig.
Okay, no, the Yoko Kanno gig was all ducks.
Right. Okay, I'm thinking of something else.
You're thinking of the Yokohama.
Yeah.
But they limited those bears to like 500 for two.
There's
types.
There's two sizes.
500 each, yeah.
Anyways, sorry.
No,
about
that's
that.
Cool. We're in line for 3 hours. And so the thing everyone wanted was this set, the anniversary set, which was a Macross shopping bag. Filled with like the posters and some,
which was like $80 American.
Yeah, and it came with this piece of cloth, which was nowhere near as big as it looked. It was like it was going to be with, which is basically the same as the life size posters in the venue, except they were layered, so I had all the characters in there. But it's just like a giant kind of half of a towel, basically.
But the poster was the life size poster that they had in the place was much better. Because all the Zentradi characters were just giant heads.
Yes.
On that, whereas on the poster, they're actually there like micron size.
Mm-hmm. This is true. So they had those, the pamphlets didn't sell out, the t-shirts didn't sell out. Things that did sell out were rather odd. For example, they had plastic fans, much like we were just talking about the fan from Wonderfest. Mm-hmm. And they had one for each of the major five performers. So there was a Minmay fan, there was a Cheryl fan, a Renka fan, a Basura fan, and a Milen fan. And it was the Basura and Milen fan, the Basura and Minmay fans that sold out. Because apparently they didn't make as many of them. They just didn't think they'd be that popular. Whereas the $80 anniversary set did not sell out because there are a lot of younger Frontier fans who didn't have $80 to blow. They were more likely to buy a cup or something,
I didn't have $80 to blow. I'm not a younger Frontier fan.
But they had some good merch. They had some posters, and so I picked up my stuff and started wandering around the hall. And they had clips from all the shows running the entire time for the...
Except for Macross 2.
No, they had Macross 2. I have a picture of Macross 2.
I sat there and waited, and I did not see a clip.
I got a picture of Hibiki's face ruling everyone.
I want to see this picture.
All right. And, so they were playing those. On the wall, they had all these autographs and from staff and artwork. Nothing from Tengen this time, but they had one from Mikimoto and Kawamori.
They had all of the bouquets.
Yeah,
and there was one from a Facebook page that I pointed out to Adrian. I'm like, what the hell is that?
The thing is,
35 thing.
Oh, the guys who are pushing for the next production.
Mm. Yeah, they sent a bouquet.
So, once people had gotten their merch, there was a whole bunch of stuff to do. There was a display for, of all things, Macross 30, which was a little annoying because all the art that they had up in the display in Shinjuku before the game actually came out, which was strictly no photographs, is now just all out there for people to do whatever with. But they had a 3D model of the 30. With a trackball, so you could like rotate it around and play with
it. So it's like a pinpoint barrier.
Pretty much, yeah. You just roll it. And then also they had like displays for the card collections. They had the Bandai model. They had the first ever showing of the Isamu Colored 29, and that had only actually been announced that morning. So it was on some of the pamphlets that they were giving out to people while they were waiting in the audience or waiting in line to get in. They had food stalls, which were all kind of named after gags, which I thought was pretty hilarious. Like all the food, like of course
the food looked nasty though.
Well, they always do at these events. You know, there were Macross cocktails. There were like Zentrum burgers.
Did you try any of
them? I didn't have time. I was just standing in line.
No, you had curry, but it wasn't even the boss or a curry. Right?
No, I went upstairs. Yeah. There was pineapple cake. You know, that kind of thing. Right. So everything was themed, which was the point.
I didn't see any of this because I just arrived just before the doors opened.
Well, I arrived before you did, and I was really worried because, like, on the train ride out to Makuhari Messe, my phone died. And I was like, wow, my phone just died. Gwyn has my ticket. There are 13,000 people here. How am I going to run into him? Luckily, walking through the hall, kind of staring at every area where people were sitting down, Cassie saw me. Because she and I were wearing the same t-shirt. We had the same blue Cheryl t-shirt.
Blue Cheryl t-shirt?
Yeah, which many people had. So she found me, and then she called Gwyn. And Gwyn said, "Oh, I'm eating curry right now. I'll be
I had
there
to recharge. I'd been in line all morning." So going back to the hall, though, as you said, Richard, they had these huge things lining the walls, which were just all life-sized characters. And there were like three versions of Fokker in there, which was awesome. You had TV, Do You Remember Love, and Zero versions of Fokker.
Right.
They didn't forget anyone in those things.
No, everyone was there.
It's like
Not even Marsh.
No, he was there. Yeah.
Yep. Marsh. It's like, I want these posters. Like,
was Dennis
not
there?
Not even the size, but...
No.
Was
Nexgrand
there?
No.
But they were good posters, yeah.
No, and just for everyone on the Facebook group, even though we posted a bunch of pictures of the Macross 2 characters and said, who are these people? We know who these people are, really.
But they're from Macross 2, Richard.
Yeah?
Richard, they're from Macross 2.
Right.
Don't you know?
Yeah, but... It's okay if we're just joking among ourselves, but it's something else if someone outside comes in and says, "Oh, they're from Macross too," and it's like, "Yeah, we know."
But why did you ask it?
Because we're like taking the piss out of Adrian. That's why.
Yeah. We got this new Manzai combo coming up.
Yeah,
Richard Renato, the two R's,
which backfires on us.
On the rest of us, not you.
In the upcoming story, but.
Yeah.
So, also, there was a huge karaoke area where mostly cosplayers actually got up and did some karaoke. And there were a lot of cosplayers.
Did they have to book in advance?
I think they did. It seemed that way.
But I got a really great picture of myself with a really hot cowgirl, Cheryl.
As I said, there were a lot of cosplayers. We had two Sarahs, of all things.
Really? And I didn't see that.
We had two Sarahs, and the best thing, of course, was the Sharon Apple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Computer cosplayer. Yes. Like she was is actually the head computer with the robes. You know, it was really
but
cool.
But at around the same time, over on the other side of the globe, I think Anime Expo was happening.
Yeah.
And they had a really cool cosplay picture of like every character together in this mock-up of a.
Yeah, they repainted the Eva entry plug.
Yeah, it was the entry plug cockpit.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah,
because I was wondering why.
I think it was for Fanime Expo or a previous event. They made that entry plug.
Well, that looked really good.
And then they gave it a kind of a VF1 scheme.
Yeah.
So.
Because they had a Sharon Apple there as well. So I'd already seen that photograph like a couple of days before or the day before or something like that.
Yeah.
And I wasn't as impressed with this one.
Huh. Oh, okay. Fair enough. Well, there was no huge, you know, group.
It's good though.
Group thing that was planned. Everyone just came of their own accord.
And I assume that was a woman because she was wearing high heels. You could see it underneath.
Hmm. So you're telling me...
Just like Greedo.
You're telling me you looked up Sharon Apple's skirt.
No, you could see. It was showing.
But it was a lot of fun. I just hung around, talked like... A bunch of fans are I knew, so I just hung around, I was talking to people. Took a good look at
sweating like crazy.
It was... once that place filled up, it was damn hot.
Yeah. You know?
But there was a lot to do. It was just, everything was Macross related. They constantly had music playing, you know. It was fun.
Videos playing.
Yep.
They
had that video for the Bandai Valk with that music.
Yes, with the Back to the Future music.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But they also had, like, the actors doing new bits.
Yeah.
For the videos on the wall.
Congratulating 30th anniversary and stuff.
Yeah.
About 2 days before the concert, about 2 days before the concert, on the official website, there are three messages, audio messages, one from each of the captains. So one from Global, one from Max, one from Wilder, were put up.
SDF1 Makrus, Bruno J. Global desu. Makrus 30周年, omedetou. 親愛なるクルーの諸君, 我らがマクロスは人類の未来に向けて このまま航行を続ける マクロスアタック!
And they weren't the only things that were recorded. They had a bunch of other actors record, you know, congratulations for the 30th anniversary messages. There was no actual footage. They just played the audio clips.
I didn't even...
So they were playing those as well, which is pretty cool.
I took a picture for Gamelin, and it was just a shot of Gamelin and his name. And then his voice.
But his voice was coming and saying congratulations on the 30th anniversary.
Well, maybe I did see that.
Okay. So I was in there for quite a few hours.
I don't think you saw that. I think that was before you arrived.
Probably. Right. You got there right when we were about to go in.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I timed it just so because.
And such and thus you missed like all of the fun and the sweating.
I mean, honestly, it was it was hot. Yes, but it was a lot of fun. So then we went in. We went into
and
the venue.
And we sweated even more.
How many people were at this concert?
13,000.
Oh, first off, explain where Cassie came from and how she...
Well, first of all, hi, Cassie. Cassie. A Macross fan from the US who flew all the way over for this concert and anything else she could cram in a short trip. And she managed
Which
to,
she did a lot.
She managed to see the cockpit before any of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, so I'm sitting here in the foyer of Makuhari Messe along with Cassie. Say hi, Cassie.
Hello.
So, I believe you've come all the way from the US for a concert. What's up with that?
Well, the States actually kind of sucks when it comes to regards to anything Macross related, so fork up the money and hop on a plane.
So is this your first time to Japan?
No. I came for a couple other Macross concerts back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, which ones?
Came for my friends, and I did Yoshiki did an Unplugged at a cafe, and a friend
in
of
the one, not the one in Yokohama?
Not the one in Yokohama, it was in Tokyo.
Okay.
It was in Tokyo, 2002.
Oh, okay.
2002. And I come for other things like anime Low Summer and things like that. So
okay, so you've come today for Macross Crossover Live 30. That's a mouthful of a name. so I'm going to presume you're a Macross fan. Mm. So you want to tell us about your first exposure to Macross?
Well, my main name is Dyson, like Isamu Dyson, the best Macross pilot. Just throwing that in there. A friend of mine said, hey, check this out. They have the same name as you. And I did. And plus blew my mind. So then I started watching Do You Remember Love? And then watched the original. And then I worked through. And ever since I've been hooked. I've been into it since 1997. Okay. And I guess you can call it a second generation Macross fan. Mm-hmm. So I never watched Robotech. I never watched the original series until after Plus. And then when I watched Plus, I went for the whole series, and I've been keeping up ever since.
Okay. So would it be safe to say Plus is your favorite series?
Yes, Plus is my favorite, I have to say.
Okay. So favorite singer?
Male or female?
Well, there's only one male singer, come on! Yeah.
Well, it's really hard because I like Basara and Cheryl a lot.
So your favorite singer is that figure that came out with Cheryl wearing a Butsera outfit.
We'll go with that. If that could be a singer, that would be my favorite.
All right. Top three Macross songs.
Heart and Soul.
Nice.
Angel's Voice. Dynamite Explosion.
All seven.
Just because I grew up in that time scheme, that was where my teenage years were, I really resonated with that music. Really well, like that was my childhood pretty much, so I like they're my top three pretty much. I like frontier music, don't get me wrong, it's just there was so much coming at you from frontier that you really can't choose a favorite from frontier. There's so much sheer mass quantity of music from Frontier that I can't really choose from there, at least.
All right, so moving on from music then, favorite Valk?
The F-25.
What?
I said the F-19 or the F-25.
25 over the 19?
Oof, I like the 19 a lot.
Everyone does.
Oh, God. But like the Brera custom was kind of neat, though. It was so neat. 19, I have to go 19.
Okay. So, as a Macross fan living in the US, as someone who's been over for a couple of gigs, couple of events, and today, even from what you've seen today and what you've experienced, I mean, what would you say the main difference between, you know, between being a fan outside of Japan and being a fan over here would be?
Well, the thing about being a fan in the States is that Frontier actually did get exposure. So there are an upswing of younger fans in the States, which is kind of interesting because Macross was such a low on the radar. It's not something that's produced through a U.S. stream. So getting merchandise is really difficult. So you have to sit on Yahoo Japan auctions a lot for anything significantly good. And to meet with people and discuss Macross, you have to really go out of your way to find people. I mean, there is a lot of people there because of Robotech and because of the upswing of mainstream anime. So you do find people to talk to. However, they know only about Robotech or Frontier because of mainstream animation. So, we do try, like a couple friends of mine, we do try to show as much different Macross as possible. We try to show, I mean, whenever we had, like, see someone who's into, like, Frontier or something, we're like, okay, hey, try Plus, try Zero, try Two Fruit for all we care. Just try something different, you know? So, I mean, as a fan in the States, we do have difficulty finding things, but with the gloriousness of the internet, it's not as hard as it used to be.
Fair enough. So, all you've seen here today so far is the warm-up, the hall with all the merchandise and stuff. Did you have any impressions from that?
That is awesome. It, like, because the way they have just the people dedicated to get the merchandise, and then you have the setup, and then you have food. That's really cool. I really enjoy it. I really liked the displays that they had, too. They had some really cool displays. They had the whole tapestry with every character on it, and the signatures were really nice, just to look at something while you're standing in line for a couple hours for, a couple merch. The merch was good, too. I think this round was okay. And, so hopefully I can go try some of the food next once we can, because
right.
I like
food.
Sounds
good to me. So we're off to get some food and then to fire and bomber this stuff up.
Thank you.
But I came all the way over, and she made these little dolls for each of the main singers, handmade, which are really cool, and because there's a box to give gifts to the artists. Does that ever happen outside of Japan? That's a Japan-only thing, surely.
I think. Yeah, I never heard of it.
And
I know people have given gifts to musicians back home.
Really?
Yeah.
They're giving gifts, but I mean,
like a box.
Not a box.
It up for people to
actual system.
And I know Chia Kajura was so impressed by the little figure of her. She tweeted a picture of it.
Right,
it was kind of cool.
Yeah,
the figure was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. I want one.
Mari Ijima also.
Cassie, I want one.
She said, "I don't know who it is who made this, but thank you very much."
It had the rabbit with it and stuff. It had
I don't remember very well.
And the Chia one had a Goobaba.
Yeah,
right. It had me.
It was great.
Yeah.
Yay.
So then we go into the concert, and they give us our wrist straps. For some reason, I got goddamn pink wrist strap. What color did you get?
I got yellow.
You suck.
I got yellow too.
Pink.
Yeah, Mr. Okay. Pink. And we went in, and our seats, for Adrian and I, we were, you guys end up with better seats than us. We're all to the right, but we were right front, so we were looking, we could see the stage, we spent more time looking at the monitors.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Renato,
looking to the stage was like turning your head on a 90-degree angle.
Okay, Renato and I were way far to the back and to the right, but we were on the aisle.
Right.
So we had as much leg room as we could want.
You also had...
And we also had Kawamori walk past,
and?
Which I totally didn't notice.
The aisle is in, like, a horizontal aisle, right?
Yes,
which means that
we the aisle that divides we had each section.
Yeah. So we were... You said we were right to the back, but we weren't actually at the very back or anything like that. We were in the middle.
You're about 20 rows behind us.
Yeah.
Right.
Something like that.
And
I would have rather your seats by far.
Yep.
Ours were tiny. And,
thanks.
And Tengen walked past as well.
Yes.
Tengen walked past
and we talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
he was cool. Right. And no one noticed him.
Right. Yeah, well, incognito.
But apparently when I was in the bathroom, Kamori also walked past. I didn't notice him.
And he walked right past me, and I didn't notice him.
Yeah.
I grabbed a picture of the back of his head walking past.
That was later. That was later.
This was before the concert.
Fair enough.
No one notices him.
No.
So we got in there, and the concert wasn't exactly running on time, guys.
No, it was 40 minutes late.
Yeah, it was a late start, and...
Do you know the reason?
I just think they mistimed how long it would take to get people out of the merch line, because they wanted to shut down the merch stand and file them all in, and it just took forever to file.
Yeah,
you saw how slow we were moving from the merch
hall. People were still going in.
Because I ran into the third hall to get some water, and it was really empty at that point.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like they were closing down.
I guess they were getting ready then.
Yeah. So, everyone got in there, and when the curtains finally raised and we started off with something that was both amazing, something unexpected, and something that possibly
and
raised the bar too high.
Something borrowed, something blue.
Something that raised the bar a little too high for the rest of the concert. You know, tell me what that song was, Richard. Do you remember?
The first song?
First song of the concert.
Yes, because I walked right in with it. It was Aimo, Tori no Hito.
Uh-huh.
And it was, Main came out, started singing it, and then the voice for Mao came out.
Yeah.
Yuka Nanami. And she joined in.
So we basically got both gnomes.
Yes.
Doing Aimo.
Well, we got two gnomes.
Well, it was... Yeah. The way it was set up is like there's these elevated platforms with the spotlight on Main.
Poor Sarah.
And Main...
She's a bitch anyway.
Oh...
So yeah, so it's these elevated platforms with the spotlight on Main, and she's singing, and then when it went to the second chorus, the other spotlight lights up on the other platform, and everyone's
By the
like,
time I came back in, the two spotlights were already
on.
There.
Yeah, so I noticed there was somebody there just waiting. I'm like, oh, I wonder who that figure was going to be, Megumi or something.
Mm.
So when it raises up, and you see this girl, like, who is that? And there was the three monitors, and then three monitors said who the name the singer was and the character name. So
it was so far away that I couldn't read the kanji, so I had to ask the guy next to me.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, Nanami Yuka. And I was like, oh, Mao. And so I turned to Renato, and I was like, yeah, it's Mao.
So
and he was like, oh, okay.
So it's Aimo sung by grandmother and granddaughter.
Right,
basically.
Yeah.
I had to think about that. I think even after the concert was finished, it was that I realized the meaning of pairing those two together. Because for me, they're so completely different, those two shows.
What are you talking about, man? Her earrings are in zero.
Yeah, after the fact. It was.
And Yuka Nanami was the one who Tengen ended up talking to at the con in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. At Otakon, they were both guests.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So. And after that, unfortunately, now, I'll throw this out here to give people an overview of the concert. It was 42 songs.
Yeah.
And it was 5 hours, or close to 5 hours.
Yes.
It was a lot more than anyone was expecting.
And bear in mind, this place had no air conditioning in the middle of a Tokyo summer. We were sweating like pigs.
I think it had it.
May have had it, but it didn't do anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was the same place with that Wonder Festival, Makuhara Meisei. So there's AC, but that place is enormous place made for people moving so that you can feel the air hitting you.
Yeah, and so we're all, like, there are folding chairs set up.
Mm.
13,000 folding chairs, but no one is sitting. Everyone is standing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all just, like, really, really hot and sweaty.
Yep.
That was...
Well, some people were sitting.
Some people were sitting. We sat occasionally.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
So, after this initial song, they went into a more typical kind of layout, which was basically they had each singer come out and do a set, more or less. So
which surprised me, because I thought they would do, like, Firebomber.
Yeah. I didn't think they would split Chie and Fukuyama up. Then again, given that Chie stopped the concert mid-concert in 2009.
Well, if you compare it to the other crossover live, they do the, you know, they have, on the monitors, they have the intro of each performer.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the other one was a lot less of a big deal. And this time it was like watching the MTV Music Awards.
Yes, it was. It was. It was.
It was like all this crazy 3D motion graphics and spinning cubes and crap like that. And then all of it's like, are you ready? First stage. And then it's like,
Maine.
Well, across frontier.
It reminded me of basically Animelo. Or any, like any of the or any of the big anime music festivals they do.
See, I've never been to any of those, but I mean, for me, coming from the States, it just looked like MTV Music Awards.
Yeah, it did. It did.
I'm sure they were taking that template.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, so it started off with Maine as the first set, and she sang an interesting set, not necessarily songs that I would have expected her to.
So the funny thing was, it was like after like Gwen and Adrian were complaining about Gitta Gitta Summer at the Gitta Gitta Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first song she sang was Gitta Gitta Summer. And I don't know if you remember this,
Renato.
I turned
to Adrian and I was just laughing.
Okay, see, I turned to Renato and I said, man, I bet Adrian is just shouting, Fuck me! At this point.
No, yeah. You know what was worse than that? This is what was worse than that. I'm like, God, I hate this song. I'm just going to stand here with my arms crossed. And everyone pulls out the glow sticks, and they're all going crazy. Girl next to me looks over, nudges me, and gives me a pair of glow sticks. And I'm just like, I only can't be a dick. So I had to actually do the whole glow stick thing.
So yeah. She did get it in summer.
Which was thematically, I mean, given how damn hot it was. It
yes,
kind of
yeah. And then she
I have a question before you get off Gitta Gitta Summer. There is a... I'm looking at the set list right here, thanks to Gwyn.
Mm-hmm.
There's an emoticon next to it, one of those, like, emoji stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Is that part of the title? Like,
yeah, that is part of the title, and that was Maine's contribution to the title. So it's like that little...
Happy face.
Literally. Happy face waving.
They did that for Shudista as well.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's all I need.
Okay. Yes, that's Maine. That's not Yoko Kano. So after that, she did Universal Bunny. And then she did probably the most obscure song in the entire concert.
Which was good.
Which was Libe, Maboroshi no Hikari, Life, the Light of Illusion, which is from the Macross F Christmas album. After that, she did Diamond Crevasse, which is always good and always has me teared up.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of cried during that. Then she did Forbidden Elixir, which I was kind of surprised to hear.
No, I've heard it before.
Okay. And then finally she ended with Gogokuji, don't be late.
Right, which don't is, you know, always a always a crowd pleaser.
Yeah. And she spoke a lot in between songs.
She did, didn't she?
The most out of...
I think Megumi spoke more.
Megumi spoke a lot, too.
And, well, we're on the topic of speaking. Just throw this out just briefly. We'll come back to it. But there was a structure, an overall narrative to the concert, in that in between...
No, but that happened after Chie.
Right.
The first part happened after Chie.
But, yeah, so in between certain singers then, there were actually clips with recorded, pre-recorded dialogue from voice actors and some sort of a story explaining why and how the concert could actually occur, and you have all these singers from different generations together. Not necessary, they didn't do it for the last one, but kind of cool, and by the end of the concert it did actually mean something. We'll get back
to that. Yeah, but the nice thing about those bits was that as several of the voice actors said, oh, you can go to the toilet at this time.
Yeah. If you don't want to listen to the plot, just go take a leak. Go for it.
So, once main ended, then we got the main event. Chie.
And how weird was it seeing Chie's name come up in that MTV style?
Yes.
Because she's so niche, you know. It was like, boom, coming up next, Chie Kajira. I'm just like,
right.
This seems so weird.
Next stage, Chie Kajira.
And what I thought was great was the minute she came out and she put a picture of this up on her blog, everyone pulled out pink glow sticks.
Right.
So you've got this sea of pink because they're Japanese. They're born with it. Anyway.
So Chie came out, and she did really, like, give 25 versions of most of the songs. But she had an augmented band, because, like, she had... Because so Main came out with her dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And pre-recorded background music.
It's like karaoke, basically.
Yeah. Whereas Chie came out with a real band.
And so Chia's style band, which means that she always shakes it up a little bit, right?
Well,
she never makes the same version twice. Okay.
Right, but she didn't... Did she have the tabla player this time?
I don't think so.
No.
But she had the trumpets.
She had the trumpets. So that meant that she started with Dakido Baby, with a full trumpet section.
Yeah, that was cool.
She did Plastics, and then she started getting into the horror movie soundtrack territory with the GIF 25 version of Pillow Dream.
But
which,
before the Pillow Dream, she did this solo on some kind of kettle drum thing.
Right.
Which went on for quite a while, and people were just confused. They were like, we're supposed to...
Right.
How do we react to this?
Yeah. And
well, it's just an extended intro, right?
Right. Yeah, it was an extended intro to Pillow Dream. And then she... But it sounded like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Right? It sounded like something that could be... part of the soundtrack to Sadako 3D Part 2, which is coming out soon.
Maybe a Fincher movie, but not Sadako.
Okay. I'll give that to you. Then she did Go. Mm-hmm.
Which is great.
Yeah, and then she
Sounded really good with actual trumpets.
Yeah, and she ended with My Friends.
Again, this is the trend. They end with the crowd plays you expect them to open with.
Right.
Yeah.
Although you could either begin or end with My Friends or Dakido Baby.
Yeah,
either one would work.
Right.
But yeah, it was like Renato and I were, as I said on the Macross World review, Renato and I were really whooping it up for her, but nobody else seemed to be.
Hmm.
Well, I wouldn't say nobody else.
But not many people.
Not to the extent that, of course, Main and, who else was it?
Megumi.
Yeah, but I mean the other Yuka Nanri.
Well, I think that a lot of people aren't used to seeing Chie solo. They think it's going to be Firebomber.
Yeah. Right.
So
I was surprised too when Chie came out by herself. I was like, I thought this was going to be Firebomber. Why is she by herself?
Right.
When are Chie and Fukuyama going to be together here?
Right.
And so then after that, we got the first of the extended, slightly animated,
not even animated,
pre-recorded segments.
It's just like static character face graphics that slide across the screen.
But do you remember what I told you when those started? And those characters from different time periods started talking to each other and making jokes? And like,
no, I don't remember.
This is better than Micro 30.
Yes, well, that's right, you did say that, yes.
This is the thing.
I do remember that.
It did remind me of Macross 30 in so many ways. I mean, you got this thing, what was it? Was it Clan and Michelle? And like, she thought it was Michelle. She thought it was Michelle,
but it was Max.
Michelle, you're hitting on someone. And they said, wait, those glasses. And it's Max.
And then it was the young Max. Right? I can wear something else if you like. And then he
magically changed into older Max, and he could do it at will. He's like, oh, he became an old man.
But but then Clan is like, yeah, I can do that too, you know.
Yeah.
And she does a little chant like a magical
girl and then changes into Daiklan, which was great.
That was good. That was good.
Was waiting for that. But that was just the first, and that whole segment came across as very, you know, just tongue in cheek. I mean, yeah. It had all the voice actors doing these lines of meeting each other and confusions. And, you know, Miria came in and she thought that Max was hitting. No, she thought that Clan was Max's illegitimate daughter.
Yeah.
So, Max, who did you have that kid with? And he's like, no one. Yeah. Of course, the whole thing was when Clan changed to Daiklan, the first words out of Max's mouth
were, Utsukushi.
So, it had similar to Macross 30, this festival.
Yeah, but like we were saying before, it built up to something. It wasn't just... It started off as just like side
point,
jokes.
Yeah,
and
at
stuff.
That point, it was just in jokes. And yeah, definitely. So, after that, we had...
Haruka Chisuga!
Your favorite singer, Renato. Come on.
I actually do like her. I don't think she's... I think she's a good singer.
All right. Great. You really like her.
I think she's an okay singer. But the way that she acts... You know, just like a fangirl.
Right.
Comes across as more real than anyone else. And probably Megumi Nakajima was probably like that when she first started off.
No, but she just cried all the time. Every time.
She was crying this concert as well.
Yeah, but she's kind of sucked it up a little bit now.
Yeah.
Well, she came out and she did Planet Cradle, which is the opening to Macross 30, which is a good song. It's the third time she's ever done it live at a gig. So that means it's the third time I've ever heard it live, and it was good. It was a great rendition of it. It went off. Everyone was chanting and jumping. I really wanted the other song. I wanted Wandering. She's only done two songs. I was like, she won't come on and do one song and leave if everyone's doing these sets. We'll get both songs. This will be the first time we get Wandering done live, and she didn't do it.
Yeah,
and I was like, that's kind of a disappointment.
But her stage performances improved a lot.
Yeah, I noticed. She was very... When she did the other... I think it was Wonderfest.
Yeah.
Because I saw it on Nico Nico. You were there, right?
The first time she did it
I saw
it was,
you! In the audience.
The first time she did it was Tokyo Game Show.
Right,
and then
right.
She did the Wonderfest one. And then she did Macross
30.
The one
I saw, I think, was the Wonderfest one. And her voice was quivering a lot. Mm-hmm. She didn't really seem to have that much confidence.
しててよ運命の輪を回し続けても君の姿真剣色をより遠すぎて時代とか星とか全てを束ねて思い切り越したら始まる
I think, and probably a lot of otaku think the same way, that it's probably part of her charm.
Right, yeah, I don't think you're wrong there. No, at all. So she did one song, and then the wild card for the night came in, which was Mariejima.
Yes.
So let's take a short trip down memory lane to what happened last time she was at a crossover.
I'm not going to say anything. Oh, I wasn't there.
I wasn't there either.
Oh, geez, I was really? Well, the long story short, she only did three or four Macross songs and did three original songs of her own.
Three Macross songs, three original songs.
Which just really threw the audience for a loop. And they weren't the best renditions either. But yeah, that's Mari. I mean, she's been doing this for many years, and that's to be expected, I guess. However, I would have to say she was the most surprising thing about this whole concert this time.
She was amazing.
The best thing about this concert.
Yes.
I think this is the best.
It was a tie-up between this and the Fire Bomber.
Right. Not having been here in the 80s when she was doing the TV rounds and the height of the original Macross, I think this is the best I have seen her since I've been in Japan, and I will probably ever see her, which is both good and bad.
The difference is that her son played guitar for her, and also Rearrange all the songs, and also managed to win the hearts of basically every girl in the audience.
That was hilarious.
He came out.
Yeah.
He doesn't
girls
speak...
next to me were like, Ikemen.
And really?
Like,
he doesn't speak Japanese at all.
Not at all.
He comes out and he's like, Macross Ichiban, yo.
So he does speak Japanese.
Oh, shut up. the girl next to me, like, they're like, don't you think he's Ikemen? I'm like, too bad, there's no Nihongo, yo.
Right. And he's got a twin brother, too.
But anyways, I honestly think, like, that Mari had been posting a lot on her Facebook about rehearsing for this. And
she posted a video.
Several. And I was just...
No, but I mean, she's actually performing.
No, just like, talking about rehearsing and how what she was doing. And like, she seemed to have so much more preparation invested in this.
Right.
No, she did an actual very short performance as a rehearsal in the video.
Okay, that's not the video I saw. She
okay,
did multiple.
All right.
And I think it was a multiple, as you said, Richard, the fact that she had her son on stage was like, I'm back in Japan, and now I've brought my offspring with me.
Baby. She actually said baby.
With me. And, I mean, he has a band of his own, right?
Yeah.
The guy's a good guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
And
graduated from CalArts in music.
Sorry, Renato?
I have a... You can download their album for free from SoundCloud or something.
Right.
It's really good.
Hmm.
They when Mari was over, I think in 2006, they came with her, and they opened for her, actually.
Hmm. Really?
Back in that day, it was just the two of them, the two brothers, and they were called Tomorrow's Child. These days, they function as a four-piece band. They have two other guys in there, and now they're called Red Robot.
Okay.
And they have really good... songs. They're really good songwriters. They write their own songs. They sound good.
This is the first time I'd heard him, but it was obvious that because she was bringing her son over, her baby over, Mari had a greater investment in the performance.
Right.
She had rehearsed a heck of a lot, and that he, in my opinion, knew his mother's vocal range, current vocal range, better than she might, and I think his rearrangements really worked to bring out both her strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
Or to play down the weaknesses and play up the strengths.
This was the most tension-filled part of the concert, because I was like, oh my god, is she going to mess up?
That
please don't mess up.
It wasn't completely perfect or flawless.
It wasn't.
Because there was I'm not talking about the performance, but there was a little hiccup.
Yeah.
You remember?
Oh, when she was going to address the audience?
Yeah.
And then
the first song.
Yeah.
She comes up, she plays the first song. What was it? Hang on.
My boyfriend's a pilot. Yep.
And that finishes, and she was about to say something like, "It's so great to see so many people here.
And
I'm glad to be back in Tokyo." And then
he kicked in the next
song. Begins. Yeah.
And it's like, "No, you ain't talking. Get back to the
party."
She was like, "Okay, all right, here we go then." So
yeah.
I don't know what happened backstage, but maybe
he was probably watching the people in the sound room or something. He was probably cued to start
because it wasn't just. You know, you say that he rearranged it and he was playing guitar, but it was just him on guitar, and the rest of it was the BGM track.
Right.
And I don't know who was controlling that. Probably someone behind,
right?
Right? So it might not have been him. He might have had to play because the BGM was starting.
I was going to say, he got the cue to start.
Right.
And he remixed things in this kind of pseudo-70s way. The sound sounded... It was a new old with the arrangements, and I thought it worked really good.
He did the guitar on Sunset Beach.
Yeah.
Amazingly.
Yeah. Had a bit of a solo in there. But so she did My Boyfriend's a Pilot, followed by Zero G Love.
Mm-hmm.
Zero G Spot.
Followed by Sunset Beach.
Zero Glove.
Yeah. And then Xiao Pai Lon, Tenchi no Enogu, and of course ending with I Obote Maska.
The last two songs, though, they were not their own arrangements. He did follow up on guitar, but...
But yeah, do you remember Love
was
the original version?
They were the original
arrangements. Yeah, do you remember? She actually said, you know, we thought we'd have to do this, the original
Because she always plays it with just
the piano.
Right.
And there was a piano there before she came out, So even I was like, oh, she's just going to come out, sit down.
Do her regular gig.
But no, she was moving around.
As she said, she moved around.
Yeah. As she said once when I saw her in Los Angeles, she was like, wow, after the songwriter killed himself, I thought, now, I'm going to have to play Do You Remember Love every single concert for the rest of my life.
As an audience member, I wouldn't complain.
No.
I don't know how to react to that. Is she not pleased with that? Is she pleased?
I think not, because she wants her own songs to be bigger.
So,
no, but I mean,
so should we move on? Because, of course, in between these...
She didn't play the piano. It wasn't just there for show. She played it only for
Do You Remember Love, and it was just one part.
Just the introduction. Right. Not the introduction, the instrumental.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was actually really well done, that she went from performing on stage to sitting down and then getting back to the stage.
But it was a very tension-filled part of the concert, because everyone was kind of wondering, is she going to screw up?
Yeah, I would say at the beginning, after a while, when she showed that, you know, she was actually phenomenal, everyone could just sit back and enjoy it.
So after that, we got Megumi.
Nakajima, Megumi.
Yes.
And oh, I am sorry.
You're sorry about what?
Oh, the first song was
Hokugo Overflow.
Yeah. Which got the audience going.
It got the audience going. Unfortunately, there was something about the pitch, in particular the end of the chorus, where she says, reverberated something in my brain. It vibrated my entire skull, and I felt ill, like physically ill, every time.
She transferred the type V virus to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So what did she sing after she made you sick?
She sang
Kuma Kuma, which was nice. I like that song. No. I mean, I like all the songs. Look, I'm not saying anything bad about the music. It was just really, really.
No, there was a.
But she talked the most out of everybody.
You mentioned it too, Gwen, that. Her voice was a little different.
Yeah, it did sound a bit different.
It even seems like she's changing her image, even like in any promotional materials. It's like she's a little bit more mature looking. She's not looking so little girlish. Her hair is a little more styled.
She still had a really poofy skirt.
Yeah, they put her in that. They're going to put a poofy skirt, but you can still see the thighs, you can still see the legs, and the bare back. And man, her arms were toned.
Yeah,
she looked good up there. I'm talking like just wow, like main. She had all her dancers surrounding her so that there was nothing to see, anyways. But there's just all these women surrounding main the whole time in circles. So.
And some men.
Oh, I didn't.
There were like two guys.
Really, but it's just Megumi up there, and it's like the camera zooms in on her. You're just like, man, she's got tone definition in her arms. That's rare.
So, moving on then.
Aoyetaru.
Are we moving on from
No,
Megumi,
just
like
what else Megumi did, because I thought her selection was interesting. That was, she didn't play all the songs I expected her to.
So, it was like After School Overflow, Rainbow Bear,
Bear.
Blue Aether.
Yes, that then, was the one that surprised me.
Yeah that surprised me too. And then she did Hoshikira, the ending song for Sayonara no Tsubasa. And of course she ended with Seikan Hiko.
Again, a crowd pleaser to close on.
But again, the problem for me was that after going to the Yoko Kanno concert, both Main and Megumi stuck to the recorded versions for the arrangements, whereas at the Yoko Kanno concert, Diamond Crevasse lasted much longer, and Seikan Hiko was where Megumi introduced the whole band, and then everybody did the Kira.
Right.
And I was kind of expecting that this time, but it didn't happen.
No, fair enough.
I think that happened throughout the whole concert. We were expecting all kinds of stuff, and we pretty much were thrown.
Yeah, that's true.
No, that's just you.
Oh, yes. Because everything's crap to Renato, anyway.
So after Megumi went off, we got a bit more of this.
Referring to one specific thing.
And after a bit more of this of the conversation between the characters, we got what we thought.
But
that
this conversation of the characters got more serious.
Yeah, it did.
Do we want to jump into that?
Yeah, it was. It looked disjointed at first, like light-hearted comic relief in between the stages. But actually, it was coming together into one form of narrative, where the characters started realizing that they're in somebody's dream, and at this stage they were trying to figure out whose dream they were in and why.
And they're going through a process of elimination.
Yeah.
Trying to work out how this could be and why the hell Alto was not around.
But this is where I finally got to go to the toilet.
Because Alto was
I was going to the bathroom as well, so I didn't listen to the entire thing. Just in passing.
But there was a process of elimination, and look, we're getting up to Firebomber and then an encore, so...
No, we're getting up to Fukuyama.
Which we all knew was coming, right? Well, because at this point I even turned to Renato and I was like, okay, we know who's next.
Right.
Well, we also knew who's next because they said so in the conversation.
Right.
They were Basara was coming up in the
conversation between the characters.
In the conversation between the characters, he appeared and he was like, hey, do you want to listen to my song? And they were like, oh, I guess you're up next or something. Yeah. And so the next one
was Fukuyama, who did Planet Dance.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that.
Holy Lonely Night.
Right. Mm.
Angel Voice. I don't think he could go without doing Angel Voice.
Right.
Something like this. Dynamite Explosion.
No, but I would have expected Angel Voice to have been the last one.
I would have too, except for the fact that this Totsugeki Love Heart was like amazing and like 8 minutes long.
All right, so and yeah, as you're saying, Adrian, he jumped in and did some Nekoko-shan by accident, kind of, which is always fun.
By accident,
well, he did it just because he does. Got the crowd going.
Yeah, well, as in, if you're in the know, do you think any of the Frontier fans that made up half the audience had any clue what he said?
Half the fans? I don't think so.
No, majority of the fans wouldn't have known.
Really?
If it was a Fukuyama concert or just a Firebomber concert, then he probably could have done a couple more times.
Yeah, he did Nekoko-shan in a couple of the Firebomber concerts that he's done before.
Just so you know, this is the one that he usually ends his concerts
with. Well, it's
the
song he normally extends and gets all the audience participation in.
Right.
Whereas he was doing it with Totsugeki Love Heart this time.
Usually he extends to like 20 minutes long because he inserts other songs in between.
In between, right. Well, then there's that one time where he and Kanna did the actual... did Macross lines in between, like a little sketch of like, if Basara was old, he'd be like, that was Yoda. But yeah, so he finished off with that.
So he finished with Totsugeki Love Heart, and he did. It lasted about 8 minutes because he kept going like, "Okay, just the ladies now, Totsugeki Love Heart," and all the girls sang it. And he's like, "Okay, now the guys, Totsugeki Love Heart," and all the guys sang it. And then he kept going back and forth like, "Okay, just the ladies now, just the guys now,"
and it was like, "Okay, the guys and then the girls."
Right.
Totsugeki Love Heart.
Right, and it lasted, as I said, about 8 minutes long, and it was amazing the entire time.
Except for the two guys who were sitting next to us.
Oh, yes, those guys. The guys who, you mean the guys who were, like, standing up and cheering during Mari Ijima and Megumi Nakajima, and then sat down and folded their arms during the Fukuyama set.
It was almost like a sit-down protest.
Yes.
They were like, we're not getting into this. No. We don't believe he has sexy enough thighs. He's not wearing a skirt. This is not entertainment.
At the same time, there were, like, two guys, like, almost directly in front of us who were, like, bouncing up and down during the entire Fukuyama set.
They're flying, man.
They're just not in Anka, that's all.
Anyways, so then we had what was apparently the first part of the encore, which was a special guest, which may seem completely obvious and natural.
But is not.
But was not.
Well, wait.
Wait a minute.
Because, like, I was trying to say before we had to stop this and start over, the only thing going through my head was, so sometime soon we're going to get some Macross Plus, and more importantly, we're going to get some, you know, Macross 2 crossover stuff going.
Now, why would you think we get Macross 2?
Because Ishtar was on the poster, drawn, illustrated by Rise Bata. Not very well, though, but illustrated by her.
What? No. It was illustrated by the guy. Wasn't it Marufuji?
No. The actual illustration for the event was Rise Bata.
But it was cell shaded.
No?
Well, she doesn't do cell shaded stuff.
And it says, her credit. Even if you look at the background page, like if you just look at the background illustration for the official site, it's her copyright, her artwork.
Renato goes digging in.
I'll just pull it up really quick. I was looking at
it. No, it's all right. Don't worry.
No.
Anyways, so...
So what the hell are we talking about? Oh, Macross 2, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Gwyn, I have to say one thing. People were asking you, so is Ishtar going to sing something? And you were like, well, yeah, obviously, we know we're going to get
Ishtar. Exactly, because she's
on... In the previous podcast, we've also been saying, well, we know that Ishtar is going to be there, we know Hiroko Kazahara. No. Hiroko Kazahara did not make an appearance.
No. I know, and that makes no sense.
Makes no sense. And it pissed me off royally.
Considering you just told me that she was at a Super Robot concert...
2 weeks before?
2 weeks before. With Fukuyama, singing Virgin Story with Fukuyama. Is that what you said?
That's what Nabe told me.
Oh.
So, and she sang Moichiro, was it?
No. She sang Yakusoku. So, for the Super Robot Wars Live.
So, Adrian showed me the illustration, the official illustration for the event. And yes, it does say...
Rise Ebata.
Illustrated by Rise Ebata, although don't believe it.
Yeah, because going by the illustration, they show Ishtar, so we already saw somebody from Plus sing, so we're obviously going to get somebody
we also seen someone from Zero
sing. We got somebody from Zero sing, so obviously we're going to get somebody from Macross 2 singing. Right. Or something like what they did in the beginning with Main and... What's the other voice actor's name? I forgot.
Yuka Nami.
Yuka Nami.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm completely wrong, but that illustration looks nothing like... You say about this style.
Exactly.
And I think the credit is wrong.
Maybe. We'll see.
Or maybe she just phoned it in.
So, no. But what I did get was actually kind of nice.
Yeah.
And that was that Yoko Kanno made an appearance.
Which she said she would never appear at a Macross concert again.
No,
right?
She said she was done with Macross. She said she wasn't going to do. And when I say do, you have to remember that from F onwards, for the major for all the major concerts except the crossover, the last crossover, she produced.
When did she say this?
After the Merry Christmas Without You.
Yeah, that was supposed to be her last.
She was like, "Well, I'm done with doing Macross Frontier gigs." That's but she made an appearance on her piano as always, and did what we call it a medley.
Yeah, and it started off with like. She did Dogfighter, she did Archon.
Well, and she started off with Dogfighter.
And then she did Runner.
She did Runner, which is great.
This is all on the piano. Dogfighter on the piano.
Yeah, this is all instrumental, just on the piano.
Right.
Moichiro, Love You, Archon.
And then when she got to Voices, of course, Aki no Arai came out.
Wait, what's Moichiro, Love You?
That's from Macross 2.
Oh, okay.
Haven't you seen Macross 2? Yeah, it's from...
Yeah, all these characters, they're from Macross 2.
I know, I was joking. I was being sarcastic.
So she did voices, and that was really great. I mean, I think that's the first time I've heard voices with Akino Arai and Yoko Kanno on the keyboard, on the piano.
Yeah.
It was a great combination.
It's really, really good.
It was really good. She started Triangler.
And Mayo Sakamoto came out.
And I think I saw Gwyn orgasm at that point.
I was not expecting Mayo to come out because she's been at one other Frontier concert, and there's some background politics there because that got cut from the Blu-ray release. The standard version of Triangler for everyone is the Main and Megumi version.
Really?
There is no Mayo version except unless you watch the broadcast.
Which is the version nobody really likes anyways.
Even I admit, as a Mayo fan, it's not a very Mayo-esque song. It's not her pitch. But this was a good version.
No, they slowed it down, and they put it in a different pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it fit her voice perfectly.
Right.
That was good. And after that, then she went into Angel Voice.
Which was a masterpiece.
Well, then on the screen, it said, "Please give me your voice." And so everyone started, singing along. Yeah, in English.
So if you're Japanese, you're stuffed.
Right. But everyone started singing along with it. So, like, she was playing it, and everyone was doing the, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, and it was, like, kind of a somber, slowed-down tempo.
Yeah.
And it built, and it built, and it built, and it ended up being really, really great.
It was.
It's really, she did that for the Christmas concert as well. A little bit.
Oh, she had the stuff come up on the screen and like
she
everyone
the kiss. And
yeah,
it's a heart.
It came up on the screen. Yeah,
like even though she doesn't address the audience, the way she handles it and kind of interacts by just motioning everybody,
right?
It's really kind of unique.
I think everyone wants her to succeed.
Well,
in any situation,
she's never really addressed the audience. That's not a thing. Even with her big gig in 2009,
right,
where it was the big cough reveal that she was Gabriella Robin. She just turned around to the audience, picked up the microphone,
started singing
Moon, literally dropped the mic and walked off.
Right,
like so she doesn't really talk that much.
Right.
Anyways. So then we finally got Firebomber.
So, being that Yoko Kanno has acknowledged Macross 2 music, that solidifies Macross 2 in the timeline, as far as I'm concerned.
Wait. I'm quite sure, because look at the last couple of songs in that medley, apart from Angel Voice. I'm quite sure that they wanted to have Hiroko Kazahara. I even forgot her name. Anyway,
yeah, come on and do the one song.
And Arkan, I don't know about Sarah.
It would have worked amazingly if they could have done that.
They could have done that. That would have been.
Holy Roz appears better. To have vanished off the face of the earth. There was an old MySpace page for her.
Mm.
As far as I've been able to find, there is nothing about her now. I have no idea what is going on.
I would love to hear Arkan. Right.
Yeah,
right.
And I've searched for Holy Roz, and I can't find anything.
Well, it wasn't that long ago, you know? Is it really as hard?
10 years?
Ten years.
Yeah, but is she really as hard to track down and say, Kumi Miyasato?
Probably not, but Almost.
Kumi Miyasato, by the way, is the singer who sang as Eve Tokimatsu in Megazone 2-3. We haven't seen it. Watch it now. Stop listening to this. This is bullshit. Yeah, compared to Megazone 2-3. Compared to Megazone 2-3, guys. I know you put a lot of hard work into this podcast. But Megazone 2-3.
Renato won't be appearing on future
God
episodes.
God damn it.
I gotta do it.
Don't you say that every time?
Yes, beat you to it.
Accepting part 3, of course.
What part 3?
Exactly.
Thank
so,
you.
So then we finally got
gonna
five
have
on.
A guy on the internet saying, part 3 is the one that Shinji Aramaki directed. We know, we're being sarcastic.
So finally then we got Firebomber, and this was where the more of the crossover-ish crossovers crossed.
Yes.
And
you're making me cross.
We start off with Burning Fire, which is a song I never can get enough of live.
Burning Fire.
And then we got Virgin Story, which...
Yeah. Which
and,
is
and there was
a song I can never
which,
get
which was
of.
The main song in the night, which that night that had lag.
Lag?
Because they had the words coming up on the screen.
Right.
Yeah. And they were lagged by about a second behind
they were.
The actual
And it got
song.
Worse and worse.
Yeah.
I was like, wow,
like the
that's,
last one completely
that's kind of bad. We got that. Then Main and Megumi came out and did Lion and Shooting Star.
I thought they weren't going to do Lion, but then, bam, second encore.
And I love
Nobody got that reference when I made it.
But because isn't it from The Simpsons?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but you showed that clip, and then I got the reference. I'd never seen that episode.
Okay.
What season is it from? Like 25 or something?
No, it's
nobody seen it.
It was the one where Nelson saw Andy Williams, and he was like, "I thought he wasn't going to sing Moon River," but then, bam, second encore.
I know, but like. I have watched maybe the first 10 seasons of The Simpsons. And
it was
sure
it was
there.
The same one where they went to Tennessee and there was a sign saying Tennessean is tenable.
Even. I have not seen that one.
Okay.
Hey, have you seen the one with? All right, Karen. Okay.
So what was the lineup for Main and Megumi?
So it was Lion and Shooting Star, which Shooting Star was great live. Although,
Shooting Star was amazing.
So this was the second time our vocals were.
Don't
in
you mean Shooting Star?
I was actually. Surprised that they didn't do Sayonara no Tsubasa because
a lot of people
they haven't
said
done
this.
It at an actual concert event. They only did
once.
It for
Yokohama.
The fan club event,
right. Yokohama,
which
yeah.
was it was cool that they performed it together, but it wasn't a concert setting.
Right.
So I think
so we've still been at the only time they've done.
Yeah,
live.
I'm really surprised they didn't do it this time.
It would seem like it would be the perfect occasion. For
yeah,
it, definitely.
So I was waiting for it, and that didn't happen. So.
But, well, it was okay for me.
But so then Firebomber came back out, and we got the Nyan Nyan Fire version, which hadn't been done before.
Which needs to be on some kind of DVD or Blu-ray or CD or something.
Well, let's
the
let's
stage
back up.
Was on
fire.
Fire.
Let's back
fire.
Up. Let's back up. Because of course the thing is that the last
fire.
Time, the only time this song's been done before at Firebomber last year, we only got Megumi, but we got a lot more guitars. This time it was guitars and some synth, but
and
we got
Main.
Megumi and Main with it.
Yeah, because that time with Megumi, it wasn't just Megumi. It was both Chie's band and the Fukuyama band all playing together and Megumi.
Right.
So it was kind of just a lot of silliness, really.
Well, the thing is, I like
that. That made it onto the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but I actually prefer that version live in a way.
To the version we saw at the...
In a
Cross
way, yeah, because it had more Chie singing, for starters.
Okay.
And it had less synth and more guitar, which I'm always good with.
And
but
it had more ass, because there was no Main, so...
That one guy on Macrossworld is going to kill you for that.
Whoever.
So, it was a good version of the song, and the stage caught on fire.
Yes.
Had these huge jets.
They had these jets of fire floating up.
And Fukuyama was sweating, and that's when it came out that he'd forgotten his change of clothes for the encore.
Yeah.
And had sweated all through his previous set, all through his encore with Chie, and now was just... even Main was like, you were like literally like slippery and dripping. And it's like it's.
I felt the same way at that point.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you know, you could just... wring your clothes and like all the sweat would just
pour out. I don't think we've mentioned this.
I felt the same way
out.
At that point.
No, we haven't because we haven't gone through the songs yet.
Alright, so then we had the ending song, which was not expected.
Wait, but so mention it then.
The last song?
Before they had the ending song,
what's his name? Max and...
So Hayami Shaw and yeah. Clan, was it? Toyogosu right. Megumi?
They're narrating again.
They've
been...
Well, yeah. Did we mention the bit where, like, mini clan turned into macro clan?
Yeah, you're either you're going to the restroom or smoking. So you missed the magical girl thing. Okay. But by that time, they weren't showing the static images. They actually came out and read right. from their actual scripts on the stage.
Mm. So, yeah, but it was just two of them.
Yeah.
Right, for that part. And one thing I also neglected to mention that was it for Shooting Star? They showed a little bit of new animation, although animation's putting
yes, they
too
did.
Fine a point of it. It was using that stop-motion kind of Idolmaster CG
right.
dancing.
It's not
stop-motion, it's called motion capture.
Oh, sorry,
capture.
Motion capture. Okay,
yeah.
My bad.
Stop-motion is something.
Yeah. But, you know, well, I meant as in it, for something that was captured, it looked... The frame rate still looked jerky as hell.
Yeah,
what
it's
I was
CG
saying.
Models, motion capture, the right. live dancers. Yeah.
I thought it looked okay.
Yeah. And that had never been shown before, as far as I know.
It's probably pachinko footage that's going to be coming up in the next.
Oh, in the next one,
pachinko game or patch slot.
But yeah, so
no, didn't Tengen or somebody say that they'd made some footage especially for the concert? And I thought that was what it was.
Yeah, that was it.
Maybe. I mean, they've done experimental footage.
I mean, you're
before.
Right. They're probably going to reuse it for a game or something.
So.
And for the second re-release of FP7,
and that will be on
extra
the,
super box
on the. Macross Frontier Blu-ray box set, which might possibly have English subs or dubs.
Dubs? Where are you getting with dubs from?
Someone asked. Someone
asked.
Yeah,
I'll dub it.
I'll dub it too. Okay, you can
episodes.
Be Cheryl and Ronk. I'll be Alto and Mihail.
Okay.
And Shiru-san.
And the last song. You sons of bitches, was Runner, but sung by everyone.
Yes, everyone.
And everyone did like a few lines each, right?
Yeah, because Mari came back out on stage.
Yeah, everyone came back out.
And I thought the last song was going to be, like it was on the 2009 one, the Superdimensional Anthem. But I guess they're not using that anymore. I should also note, going back to the book, Katare Macross, the book that we started on with, it's not... mentioned at all in that book, and there is a discography section where it has pretty much every Macross CD that has been released. There's a photograph of each album cover.
Yeah, it's like a page, right?
That CD is not there.
Well,
at least I couldn't find it.
There's a few CDs missing from there, from memory. I remember looking at it thinking
The Macross and Runner single? It's not there?
No. The
Superdimensional Anthem.
Oh, really?
Iki o shiteiru.
Yeah.
Kanjiteiru.
But, So, and this, of course, brought us to...
As you can see, it's not there.
This is bigger than the
one. And actually, you can see that it's not there, because you can't see anything.
Yeah, you're right, it's not there.
I think it's quite conspicuous that it's not there, just because it's recent. I mean,
right.
I can forgive them not having the those really crappy synth...
synth album, like the Synthesizer Fantasy
Jam Trip.
And Jam Trip.
I bought that brand new from a shop in Shibuya in 1990...
I bet you're proud of that.
And I got home and was like, damn it, this is ass!
Yeah.
But that CD...
They've got Macross Zero Original Soundtrack 2, but they don't have that.
That CD is worth a ton of money on Amazon for some reason.
Really?
Yeah.
I have it.
Yes, so do I.
Okay,
what's the second edition of the Gundam novels? I have two copies of that, and it's going for like $2,000.
So the
$2,000? What are you doing then? Go, cash it in.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
They're back in America.
Oh.
So then we got the final point of all this.
What's the point?
Several sets earlier, they'd gotten to the point where they realized all this musical playtime had been happening within Cheryl's head.
Yeah.
Not just within Cheryl's head, but within Cheryl's head while she's in the coma.
Right.
And
the
end of
making the whole concert a sequel to Sayonara no Tsubasa.
Which apparently I posted on Anime Ski and someone reposted it on Tumblr and everyone like went nuts for it.
Yeah,
my favorite comment was the first one, which is, this cannot be more beautiful.
Okay.
Well, let's get to the nuts and bolts of that.
Okay,
well,
so...
First of all, they realized that this was in Cheryl's head. Now,
by process of elimination, the characters figure out certain people aren't there because... Like, who are the characters that appeared? You had Shin,
Oh, yeah, Shin and Sarah turned
up. They show up. You have Max, young Max.
And old Max.
Well, and then there was Wilder. The funny bit when Sarah showed up, and then Catherine Glass, and, like, it's the same voice actress.
Mm.
And Renato turned to me and was like, I didn't know they were the same voice actress.
Yeah, I actually didn't. I find it funny when Leon turned up.
Yeah.
Right.
So you have all these different characters, and for us, are the ones that don't speak or understand Japanese so well. It's like, how are all these characters, like, mingling together? And then it's the whole thing of they're in somebody's dream.
Right.
So go ahead and explain the rest.
Well, and they were working out, you know, well, whose dream could this be? It's like, well, we can't be in the dream of anyone before Frontier's time, because otherwise how would they know about the Frontier's characters? So it's got to be someone in Frontier's time. It can't be Alto, because he's not here.
But Ranka was there.
But Ranka was there. Cheryl was there. Wilder was there. Ozma was there.
What do you mean it can't be Alto because he's not here?
Well, if it's his dream, you'd think he'd be there. Not necessarily. Him being missing was a major clue.
Right.
I don't know.
Because the only
In the story,
yeah. In the story. Because the only people who would not have Alto in the dream would be people who were privy to the knowledge that he'd disappeared. So
everyone's looking at me right now. There, are you convinced yet? The hell, so, man.
So anyways,
been put on trial here, man.
Long story short, and this has been a damn long story. They work out.
Well, it's 5 hours.
It's in it's a 5 hour. Sorry, they work out. They're in Cheryl's head while she's in her car.
5 hour tour. A 5 hour tour. Wilder had the supergirl.
And I mean, it's not made clear exactly where when this happens. I personally, I think it's that point where in the credits for Sayonara no Tsubasa, you see Cheryl's earring go off. I think this is happening then.
I think so too.
Or just up to that. Because right. After all this, they work out it's Cheryl, and then you get a clip with Alto's voice, and it's the first time you've ever heard Alto.
Well, played over this
fold thing.
So what it is they actually show that scene where Cheryl's
where
lying
in a coma,
that side profile shot where she's laying down. And then it goes into the warp. Basically, they're in the warp scene that you'd see
in the very first episode.
Yeah. So whenever, the very first episode and the IMO episode ending with Barrera, where they're going through they're going through the warp tunnel. But this time, it's as if you're sitting in the warp seat. So it's not this side view. It's actually you're going down the warp tunnel.
Right.
Right. And you hear Alto's voice. And there's two things to note. First of all, he's asking for assistance.
Yeah, it sounds like he's on
he's doing badly.
Yeah, that's what got me. It wasn't like, guys, you know, can someone come and get me? I'm alive. It's like, can someone help me? I need assistance. Ooh. And he's like, I will make it back somehow. But it was really kind of, what the hell's going on? Like, A, how's he got a radio? And B, what's going on to, like, get him sounding so stressed? And
anyone who says that it sounds like Cheryl's about to wake up, and that Alto's about to come back, maybe, but maybe not.
So, I thought that the concert was either happening when
you don't actually know anything.
It doesn't help anything.
No, well, the only device of communication is Alto has
one of
the earrings, and Cheryl's still wearing the other.
This doesn't change anything.
No.
From the ending of the movie.
No, it doesn't. It just
Alto's still alive, though.
That changes something.
It eliminates the idea that, well, they all got blown up.
Well, because you have to remember that in Shooting Star, she refers to, you know, miracles happening if all her fans support her.
And
but it's like, well, if all her fans are supporting her, she's awake now, why is she not looking for Alto?
And possibly the end of Sayonara and Tsubasa getting changed from the theatrical version to the DVD version.
I don't think it got changed.
I think it did.
I know you did, but...
But
you use that as
listen to our podcast.
Well, I was there, man.
I know, but Adrian was like, missiles hit, blew up. He might have gotten out. We don't know.
Adrian asked Tengen because...
I was going to ask Tengen, but I didn't.
Well, all I know is a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the first movie. No, wait a minute. We were talking about...
the one that isn't a movie?
No. We were actually talking about Sayonara no Tsubasa, and he pulled it up on his iPad mini.
Mm.
And then during the...
You mean he illegally downloaded it?
No, I mean, guy worked on it. Because we're, we're talking about...
So it's impossible for him to do anything illegally with it.
No, but we were... the final battle.
Yeah.
Ronka's singing.
Yeah. Right.
Was it Overflow?
Yeah, Hokago
Overflow. He's showing that there's an animation mistake where she has a bracelet and the bracelet's gone. She has a bracelet and the bracelet's gone. But I think it's her, it's supposed to be the Osan Shoyu. It's like, she wraps it around.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, see, it's messed up. It's here, it's there. It's not there. And then I told him about the intestines. Yeah. Thing about how they changed it.
Which only the four of us have
and
seen.
And so he pulled that up, and on his... because he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, they added an extra S to intestines, but they fixed it. And when he brought it up, it was the theatrical version. So okay, he does have it.
Okay.
All
right. Okay.
All you have to do is steal his iPad. We will know.
Or you could just ask him, change the ending?
Can you do one more thing that I'm really sure that they changed on the first movie, which I don't intend to watch again?
hey, let's put it on after this.
Yeah. I'm game.
When they're at
better
the,
not, because he might end up liking it.
When they're at screw you. When they're at Akihabara, and Ranka is doing the show.
God,
it's an aquarium, right? They show the shot of the aquarium Chogokin, but in the DVD and Blu-ray version, it's the YF-29.
Yeah,
the YF-24. God damn it, which one is the prophecy?
In the theatrical version.
YF-24.
Yeah. Whatever. In the
No, it's not. YF-25.
Yeah.
Because the YF-24
is the prophecy.
No, because the YF-24 is the one with the delta wings.
No, there's the YF-24 and there's the YF-24 prophecy.
David Hinged Tijin, however you read your name.
From what I remember based on what you're saying, the theatrical version, they were more pencil-drawn versions of the toys, and in the Blu-ray or the DVD, they're actual 3D models of the toys.
Yeah, that was different. But I mean, the big shot that opened that scene
was
of a Shogokin, and I'm sure it was the Shogokin in the original.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
I mean, I'm sure it was the Aquarian in the
original. Yeah,
what did I just say? I didn't even know.
Gwen's kind of like just giving up on us, and it's just kind of like texting and being like,
rather abrupt.
These guys. They're totally screwing up the podcast, going off on this tangent, and all I want to do is convince everybody that Alto's a lie. And they're talking about intestines.
We only have 25%.
And why was intestines changed again?
Because Richard was bringing up the fact that, you know, like, now that people can't say that he died unless you saw the exact theatrical version. Right.
Well, either way, what this ending to the concert, it was cool in that it didn't have to have a narrative to it. The previous concert didn't. I know people have actually said they think having a narrative is kind of lame. I think it was good because it gave you a setup, and it was kind of the next progression from what happened in the Merry Christmas Without You Live, right?
Yeah. I thought it was interesting because it made the whole media much more interactive.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously they're not bringing you into their world or anything like that, but I mean, all the people there are fans of the show, clearly, and they want to see this franchise continue. And it was certainly, if anything, it was a hint that, yes, we will continue.
Right.
We might not continue the Frontier story, but these characters are all...
I disagree. I think the fact that they've put this out there now, because previously...
Wow.
Well, previously with just the shooting star hints, and Kawamori has gone on the record saying that I put enough hints in the movie so that I think it was quite obvious what happened to Alto if you just think about it. He's on
record
saying
that. Which means that he doesn't want to do any continuation.
Exactly. But they've added this now, which is Alto saying he's in trouble, he's going to come back somehow.
I read it as a kind of a... not subliminal, but kind of an understated advertising promotion for the...
Blu-ray
Alto the Alto Matsuri, which is the Oshara Macros event, which is all about Alto. And he's like, I'm going to come back. Yeah. And here he is. He's back. Alto is back.
That's a stretch because the...
I don't know. Everyone knew that it was happening.
Well, we went to it.
And it was nothing. It was...
Well, why are you going
to... We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
So
But I think it was good that now they've added...
By the way, those guys went to it, I didn't go to it, just for clarity's sake.
How do I put it? You've got whatever was hinted at in Shooting Star, but now we've got this... There's this middle ground now, okay? So, in between the end of the movie with Cheryl in the coma, and however she wakes up, you've got this thing with how does Alto get back? Which could make for... Maybe it's a manga, I don't know. But it seems to me that...
Well, if that, in that case, then anything goes, because there's so much... So much manga being produced.
But it gave the impression that look, there's another small maybe story to be told here.
There's plenty in manga form.
Yeah.
Macross 7 Kanchou, Maximilian Genus desu. Macross 30 shounen, omedetou. Wareware no koukai ni owari wa nai. Kore kara mo monitor kara me o hanasu na.
So yeah, the concert was really amazing. It was a little bit too long.
4 hours and 40 minutes, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Towards the end, Richard was saying to me, I really wish it would just end right now.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to do another encore. I just wanted to finish because I was hot, I was sweaty. Yeah.
And then the screens were telling him, yeah. He's like, I must keep going. Okay. So one thing I think needs to be mentioned.
The story about the train.
I don't know.
You know.
You're just trying to forget.
Is the fact that, as we mentioned, there were several really large monitors playing footage in a manner that was not done at the last Crossover Live. They had professional concert cameramen in the front, they had cameras at the back, and it was all being edited in real time really well. If I didn't know any better, normally when I see footage this good done live at a concert, there's a chance of getting some kind of Blu-ray.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
Renato, what the are you doing?
I'm capturing this because...
What the... Basara! Are you doing?
I don't know what this is.
Because we're going to take... Oh, Jesus Christ. You're
taking
gonna,
photos of the Macross 2 pages.
To put up on Macross US and say, hey, guys, have you heard of this? What's this?
I didn't post
on
Macross
US. Anyway, so back it up. I think a Blu-ray...
I'm not a US citizen.
So I think a Blu-ray is definitely possible given the quality... That was on display of footage and
yes,
the editing and all that.
Definitely.
I really, really hope they bring it out this time.
I hope so too.
All right, so before we wrap things up here, I have to mention a week after the concert, there was a Nico Nico broadcast for the Macross fan club, which was an after concert. They originally wanted to do it the weekend of the concert, but they couldn't. So they did it the weekend after on a Sunday night. And it was a Nickel Nickel broadcast with a live studio audience, limited studio audience. I actually got a ticket to go, but it was just really late on a Sunday night.
I never knew it was happening. When did they advertise this?
No, I have my sources. But
I have my source.
The fan club.
Bansan.
The fan club.
You could have given me the ticket, I would have gone.
Well, no, it wasn't. Like, it's fan club members only. Like, they check against your ID.
Oh, okay.
And he decided not to go, like, an hour before.
Beforehand, I was just like,
you were
going to
go?
I was going to.
Okay.
And it turned out that they were giving out to people who went, I found out after the fact, of course, those posters they had all over the concert venue that people actually wanted, the Milan one and the Sharon, the, not sure, the...
Cheryl?
Cheryl one, yeah, and the Megumi
whoever
one.
Whoever that character was.
Yeah.
But Richard, did you know that they streamed it live?
No,
yeah,
I didn't.
They streamed it live as well. And it was an utter waste of time. I'm glad I didn't go.
I was doing the washing up while I was watching it streamed live, and it was awful. Because
so
it had the guy. The MC was that awful, awful guy with the terrible, terrible laugh.
Well,
who was, oh, that's so funny! It's just...
He does that well.
So noisy.
So they had Main and Haruka Chigusa. And
Haruka Chisuga.
And they were basically just... Let's talk about how great the concert was. First, basically they did what we've just done in audio form, but with a couple of slides. And
so better than what we did.
No, in way less... No, in way less...
Macross One Night Stand.
It was utterly... Like, there are a few jokes and Haruka's like cute
and
all.
It was pretty terrible, and I had to turn it off. It was just so awful.
It was pretty bad, but what I was expecting was them at the end of that to announce whether it's a CD or a DVD or a Blu-ray... To the fan club.
I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting at least some footage
from the concert, right.
And it was just, okay, they went round, yeah, like you said.
They took pictures from blogs, from people's blogs. They had pictures from Cheer's blog. They had pictures from Fukuyama's blog. They had no original pictures that they showed, even.
Pictures from Main's blog were really good.
But, like, why are people turning up to bother sitting here and listening? Like, they'd get a list of songs and give Haruka, like, a Velcro dart and have her throw it to pick what song she's going to talk about. And I got my song. I was so nervous singing my song. I'm like, why are people listening to this? This is so boring. It was by far the worst fan club event I've ever seen. I'm kind of glad I didn't go. And it just seemed useless. It was a shame that they didn't take what could have been a good opportunity to announce a Blu-ray.
Was it better or worse than the Bandai 172 model kit damage control video? Because I think at least they allowed comments on this one.
Yeah, they allowed comments. Watching the comments was kind of fun, at least, I suppose. You know.
Patchy, 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 patchy.
I still want that model kit, though, because Gerwalk.
But, it was a missed opportunity and kind of a not too positive kind of full stop to the whole event. This kind of was a waste.
We've got a more positive event next time.
Yeah. So, thanks for that, Richard. I think we'll wrap it here. And next episode, we will be talking about the 1-to-1 VF1S cockpit.
Well, you will.
In Hyogo Prefecture.
See you guys.
Yeah.
In Hyogo Prefecture.
Oh, you mean Kobe?
Did you
go to Kobe?
No, Takarazuka.
Well, then.
But you must join us. You must simply join us to, you know, make sure that we stay on track with things and that you can sit there and, you know, comment as you always.
Come back again in a couple of weeks, guys, to talk about this cockpit.
Okay.
And the talk show by Tengen, which had a special guest in the form of Shoji Kawamori. But for that, definitely tune in next time.
Yes, because things are winding down.
Things are winding down. Oh, wait, we have a 1-to-1 Valk coming back again, and who knows what's going to be coming after that. We got Alto coming back. I mean, everything's coming back, but Gwen just wants to just drop it all and get
Shin's
out of here.
Shin's coming back. Hell.
Everything's back.
This is Macross World Speaker Podcast, folding out.
Back.
You'll suck.